Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Hey, 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Gypsy Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Hello.
I was sitting in my car. I owe Danny an explanation. We pulled up at the same time, and I sat in my car like I was pouting or something, but I was listening to the news.
I didn't think you were pouting.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were just being weird.
Yeah, it seemed like I was being weird. Yeah. I was sitting in my car listening to the news. I love listening to the radio. I love listening to the news. The best compliment and or talk radio. Well, part of it now is if you do a talk radio show, you don't want something to come up and go, huh? What? Wildfires? What? No. What are you talking about?
I hadn't heard.
Hadn't heard. You don't want that to happen. But the best compliment you can pay to anybody who does this for a living is, I sat in my car.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get out of my
car.
Actually, the best, yeah, you pull up to work and you sit in your car in the parking lot because you want to hear the end of this segment. Actually, the best compliment is I drove my car into work.
I physically drove
it into my cubicle.
I crashed. It's sad. I was laughing so hard, I ran off the road. That's the big one. But I sat in my car because I couldn't wait for the end of the story and I was late for work. It's kind of the Marconi Award of a good story.
Yeah. So. Ironically, most of people missed this story because they got bored halfway into it and went back inside to the work. But that's a nice compliment. Once in a while, I sit in a car and I listen to the radio. And also, again, I always look at it as second I walk into the building, that's when I'm on the clock. So I didn't want the douche man to think I was being rude. It is 170 degrees outside. I have no air conditioning in my house and am officially miserable. It was 83 degrees in my bedroom last night. And I just can't, I don't know what it is. I have only so many days of summer in me, and I'm overflowing. We had the craziest 4th of July weekend I can remember out here. It was literally like 113 degrees. Like, it wasn't hot. It was oppressive, oh my God, I can't leave the house, kind of nutty, cuckoo, crazy hot. And now it is, I'm driving through Van Nuys, picturesque Van Nuys, yesterday about 1 in the afternoon. I'm looking at the thermometer inside my car. It says it's 99 degrees outside, and I'm passing a Christmas tree lot. Now, they've just put the signs up, they've cleared the space, and they haven't started unloading the trees yet, but it's a Christmas tree lot. I think they're putting pumpkins on it at this point. And by the way, every square inch in Southern California, especially here in Los Angeles and in the Valley, every single square inch of the Valley and of Los Angeles and the city where we all live is occupied by condominium or a mini mall. Yet, and real estate's very expensive, obviously. Yet, every year when Christmas rolls around, 35 Christmas tree lots pop up on vacant lots. And I'm always like, what the? Where did that? We're right in the middle of Studio City. It's right in the middle of Toluca Lake. We're Beverly Hills adjacent. What the hell? What's that dirt lot doing there? It's almost like they rolled the lot out. I don't pay enough attention to know where every open piece of territory is, but somehow magically in a land where a 30-foot by 80-foot lot would be worth $5 million, somehow 50 of them pop up just during Christmas season. And then they remove the trees and the flocking. Everything goes away, and then it's back to every single possible square inch of real estate has a condo on it.
Well, that's what I would have to think it is the city will make money, as you've pointed out so many times, any way it can. Mm-hmm. No matter how much that vacant lot is worth, while it's vacant, it's worthless. So until that $1 billion condo goes up, a Christmas tree's going to have to do.
Oh, yeah, I just never see it. I just never see the vacant lot. And
until there's trees? There's a forest there?
If you'd ask me, hey, you want to buy some land in Studio City? I'd be like, what land?
Yeah.
You could buy something and knock it down and then have land, but I don't know of any land. But sure enough, S just pops up. Just right. See this stuff popping up all over the place.
Well, you do have hypervigilance, which
maybe,
is interesting.
Yeah, not so hyper that I notice it when it's not Christmas season.
Well, I think you have hypervigilance and then also selectivity. Because
maybe
you just said to us, you know, I think I owe Danny an explanation, or you might have even said an apology.
Yes.
Because I was sitting in my car.
It seemed rude.
Like I was pouty, and I didn't see that. I saw you in the car, and I actually, to be honest with you, I just wanted to hear the end of your story. I just assumed you were listening to the radio.
Oh, okay, good.
What Adam failed to mention is while he was saying, I was looking at my car, and I thought Danny was thinking, I was being weird. I pulled up, and I'm sitting in my convertible, shirtless.
Oh, yes. Danny does not disappoint. Let me explain something about Danny. Certain celebrities are muted when you see them in real life. Like, you see the celebrity that you know from wherever, and you see them in real life, and their hair's a little different, and they're a little bit shorter, and they're not flash. They're not wearing what you'd expect them to wear. They're wearing sunglasses, and they have 3 days worth of beard on them. And all of a sudden, they look nothing like you would expect them to look, because the last time you saw them, they were performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, and there were, you know, fireworks going off and blah, blah, blah. And then there's celebrities that are actually more than when you see them. Like, when I saw David Hasselhoff for the first time, I thought it was a guy who was a David Hasselhoff impersonator.
Yeah.
Because he seemed too Hasselhoffy.
Hasselhoffish.
That's right. His Hasselhoffity was off the scale. I mean, he literally, his shirt was undone lower than I thought Hasselhoff would do. He had more pirate jewelry on than I thought the Hoff would wear. He was wearing, you know, bigger cowboy boots than I thought the Hoff. His hair was like, he was so Hoff. Hasselhoff-esque that I thought, well, this guy can't be the actual Hoff, because the actual Hoff wouldn't walk around as a caricature of himself. Danny, when you see Danny at 5:45 in the morning get out of a sports car with no shirt on and women's jeans, you realize Danny's Danny.
Yep.
Maybe more Danny.
All the time. I mean, there's a small explanation. I worked out to the very last second. And I didn't want to bleed sweat through the shirt, because even though you showered, you could still be hot.
So you dry off on the way over.
So I dry off. I wore a hoodie till I bought my water and my protein drink. And then I took my shirt off at the gas station and drove the rest of the way here shirtless so I would be dry.
Good times. Hey, Jesse?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Good morning, guys.
Morning. Morning, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for getting me to work. Used to commute from San Diego, and now I'm Redondo Beach to Hollywood, and you guys make it fun, and if you guys didn't make it fun, I don't know what I'd do.
What do you do? Thanks. What do you do?
I'm in building maintenance. I work at, I don't know if I can say the name of the building, Broadway Hollywood.
Go ahead.
The Broadway Hollywood on Vine and Hollywood Boulevard.
Dude, are those the condos?
Yeah, they're condos.
They're going for, what is it, about $750 a square foot?
Dude, it's insane. 10th floor went for 2.3.
Yeah, and it's across the street, you guys, for the rest of the country. It's kind of interesting, I think. If I'm wrong, correct me. They put in this giant $200 million complex, because Hollywood, when people come out here to Hollywood, you're doing the wrong thing. Now, when you come out here to go to show business, that might be a good thing. But you should do it in the Valley. Or
right.
In Santa Monica, unless you're in porno, and then you should do it in Chatsworth.
Yeah.
If you come to Hollywood, you come to score drugs and get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Especially at Hollywood and Vine or at Hollywood and Highland. So the government...
Recently.
Yeah. You know, first
had a renaissance.
Yeah. Then they put in hundreds of millions of dollars at the corner of Hollywood and Highland.
Mm-hmm.
And it tanked.
Mm-hmm.
And the government had to take it over. So somebody else put in a couple hundred million dollars at Hollywood and Vine, including the W Hotel, which is just about done.
Yeah.
The best chains. Well, Hollywood Highland just has taken off on its own.
Right.
And my great hope is, because it's about a mile, that Hollywood and Vine and Hollywood and Highland match up and become 42nd Street.
Well, it's an interesting, you know, the idea. Because everything has sort of an ebb and a flow. If you go around your town or this town, you'll see places where people tell you, oh, yeah, super trendy, hot Melrose Avenue, was a dump in the late 70s and the early 80s. Then it had a renaissance. Old Town Pasadena was dicey and scary, and then it had a renaissance. Your job is to buy something when it's down and then sell it when it's up.
I can't wait till people talk about how Koreatown used to be a dump. I love it now.
Hollywood and Highlander, where it all ends, and now all the drugs, and if they're still there, they're past that by about 100 feet. That's where I bought.
Hollywood,
seriously.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think it's a really good. I think it's the first really like smart grown-up move I've made. I have to walk 100 feet, and I don't care. I kind of get off on it, actually. But Amy has to walk 100 feet past the junkie and the hooker to get to the store. And then all of a sudden, bang, she's at the bright lights of Times Square. But there is 100 feet of danger.
When I got my first place almost 10 years ago, now up Beechwood Canyon, it was dicey. Like Hollywood was dicey.
Even up Beechwood?
Up Beechwood Canyon, where I bought my first house, every third place, apartment and or house, was dilapidated. I mean, just falling apart, like 96, 97.
Really?
Just coming undone. You forget now every place has been bought up and redone. In Hollywood, the same way. Hollywood was kind of weird and dicey and scary and bad, especially over in that direction. Now it's all just getting nice, which is good for real estate if you bought it a while ago. I'm glad. I'll tell you the one. I've always been a huge fan of radio. And just speaking to our last caller who's dropped off, but I'll speak to him anyway. I've always had crappy jobs, as I've said many times, other than radio. I've had horrible jobs. And when you have horrible jobs, one of the problems with horrible jobs is like loneliness. Yeah. I mean, is a job that bad if you work with someone you really like? It's just not. You can have a job where you're running rooters through sewer pipes, and if you work with a dude that's really cool and you really like, and it's you and him in the van, you actually look forward to it. I always had really crappy jobs, and then I worked with really crappy people because I swung a hammer. And I had my choice between Latin guys who just didn't speak the language, which was a nice step up from the guys from Chatsworth who did speak the language, except for they were racist and all they wanted to talk about was going down to the river with their jet ski. That was as far as their imaginations could take them. So it was sitting around listening to Molly Hatchet and talking about getting a new Kirker pipe for their jet ski and taking it to the river, or it was sitting around and listening to mariachi music and talking about nothing. So you felt trapped. Right. You almost felt like you were trapped inside your own intellect. There was nothing to do but sit and think. And then the other one I had, of course, was...
Actually, I feel trapped inside your intellect. It's really starting to bug me.
I wish you were in there back then. I actually remember it now thinking of it. I remember very distinctly... Must have been 1987. I was working at Always Better Closets, ABC Closets, in picturesque Burbank by the airport, 170 degrees today. And I was working there, as I've said before, with the born-again gangbangers. These were guys who were in gangs and were in prisons and still had the tats and the scars to prove it, but they found Jesus Christ last time they were in the joint. And now they were attacking the Bible with the same fervor they used to attack the public with. Instead of using a shiv, they're using the good word. And they would ask for traveling mercy, and they would speak in tongues, and it was awesome because now you had basically three layers going. You had A, they were all Latin guys, so we didn't have that much to talk about culturally. B, they were born-agains, which meant we really didn't have much to talk about. And then C, they were just stupid construction guys. But they were a sandwich of Latin, born-again, and manual labor guys. So it was like 0-for-3 for the Ace Man over at Always Better Closets. I used to walk around with my little headphones on. I had my little Walkman. How else was I going to get through the day? It was just manual labor and then me and the born-again gangbangers. I was listening to one of the shows that's been out here for about 20 years, Mark and Brian, and I was listening in probably 87, and Bonaducci came on, Mark and Brian.
I was one of their first guests.
Yes, he was. And I think you were calling in for some reason. I don't think you're in the studio. I don't know where you were in 87. You can think about it and tell me. Maybe
no,
you're
I can't.
Here and called in. But the Deutsch man called in, and they were having some fun on the radio, just a little back-and-forth banter. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, hey, that guy Danny, because I hadn't heard much from you, not since the Partridge Family.
I didn't work.
Well, for me, I watched you in Chips when you were fighting. He was one of Andy Mastodon's, who was the head dojo leader guy. Sensei Mastodon. He was one of his sidekicks who eventually squared off with Estrada in the ancient art of karate. But the point
is well done. I was the only real black belt on that set, and everybody else was going. It's like when the reporter who speaks perfect English says, and the fires will be very bad today. This is Maria Gonzalez reporting. It's like that with the karate.
Right. That's what happened. And I remember, I thought, Danny's funny. Just sitting there in my crappy job in my crappy corner of the valley thinking that. And, of course, it was a different time. I thought Mark and Brian were funny, too.
Yeah, the times changed.
Maybe we should have cracked a window in there. There's too many solvents. But my point is, radio kept me company through all my crappy jobs and all my lonely jobs. I had plenty of jobs where I just worked in cabinet shops and I just worked alone. I sat in someone else's cabinet shop, milling wood and putting together kitchen cabinets and what have you, and it's solitary. You just do it alone. And if you're like us and you like to converse and you like to share opinions and you like input, and there's no input except for particles and dust coming from some plywood you just ripped on a bandsaw. Although you wouldn't rip on a bandsaw. Let's do circular saw or table saw. But the point is I always listen to talk radio, and I enjoyed it, and it meant a lot to me. And it always means a lot to me when people say, I have a crappy job or a crappy commute, and you guys keep me company.
You know what's funny is I was listening to Chewy on one of the Spanish-speaking stations. And he used to work in construction, too. And he used to talk about the guys that wanted the jet skis and these other guys that did this. And this one white guy that he always had these earphones in so he didn't have to talk to us.
Talking
what
about
an
me.
Ass. You know, everybody hates everybody on the site.
There was one guy I worked with over there at ABC Closets named Big John, who was just a big white guy who used to be a hot dog vendor at, not Fenway. What's the other Chicago stadium?
Comiskey.
Yeah, but he was a born-again Bible thumper, too. And like I said, I was so miserable working with these guys. They weren't bad guys. It's just I didn't want to talk about the Bible. And we used to drive in a cube truck to go deliver these things, and I would sleep in the back of the cube truck, roll myself up in a furniture pad and say, wake me up when we get to wherever we got to. And then one time I freaked on them, and I was tired of listening to Christian rock, but it was 4-1. And I said, why can't we listen just to some regular rock music or it doesn't even have to be rock music. Why do we have to listen to Christian rock? And they're like, that's the devil's music. And I said, no, it's not. Watch. Give me that radio. Let me just put it on something here. Let's listen to some oldies or some classic rock or something. I'll just put on some classic rock. So I turned it to the classic rock station, which was probably this station in Los Angeles before it became a talk format, ironically. And it was Bob Seger's Main Street. And I was like, down on Main Street, down on Main Street. And I was like, there you go. That's a nice song. Guy singing about going to Main Street. Nothing wrong with that. And they're like, he's going to pick up a prostitute. And I'm like, huh? He's picking up a prostitute.
On Main Street?
What the? No, he's looking at cars. Maybe he's buying a new guitar. He's not picking up a prostitute. And they go, oh, yeah, listen to the song. Listen.
It is midnight.
Pretty late, but maybe some of the guitar stores are still open. Trying to get his courage up. He wanted to look at a minivan or an RV or something.
There was this long, lovely dancer, little club downtown.
Just a dancer.
Yeah, didn't say what kind of dancing.
Love to watch
tap,
do
modern.
Not a lot of ballet at midnight.
Who's just pointed this out to you?
Born again.
Through the long, lonely nights, she filled my sleep. Body softly swaying to that smoky beat. Down on Main
prostitute?
No, you know what? You are. You are. But it's a biblical story. It's the hooker with the heart of gold. It's Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. She fills his nights.
Here's the trouble.
You know, you got to always turn it on these people.
And the losers used to watch them through the glass.
Seemed like such a nice song, too. I thought I'd really driven my point home.
Outside of closing time. Just to watch her walk on past.
Trying to buy a piece of ass.
Waiting for the stripper to get off work.
She was one of the good hookers. All right, fellas, back to Striper. All right, let's put the Christian rock back on. I'm done. All right, I couldn't even pull Main Street off. And one goddamn song I flip it to, and it's about a whore. Jesus Christ. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Good news, everybody. I'm a new dad. I'd like to be new dad.
Congratulated, like now you're making an announcement.
Oh no, sorry.
Give me a heart attack.
I'm a newish dad. I'd like to be a new dad. Jesus, it's just all
imagine
right.
This song's been on the radio.
That would have been awesome.
For the rest of your time there.
Yeah.
Jesus is just all right.
I needed was the one hit. You know what I mean? I just needed to get some traction. I start off with Main Street. I could have started off with the Doobie Brothers. We all could rock to this one. All right. Anyway, moms, I'm a new dad. Let me be a new dad to your old kid. How about that? 866-901-ADAM. Single moms, give a call. Your son, your daughter needs a helping hand, needs a man in the house. How about a man in the radio? Kid's getting out of hand, not doing the homework, not listening, not studying, not cleaning up, not doing his or her chores. Give a call. I'll talk to him.
And by the way, we're local, so if Adam's talking doesn't work out, he'll just send me over to this kid's room.
That's right. Adam Carolla, father figure. We'll talk to you next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. One of the suits, program director Jack Silver, with a sneak peek at this morning's show.
All you peeps who are psyched for the Playboy Mansion, raise your hands and then drop your pants. Today, the Ace Man's gonna play father figure to all the kids of America. We'll try to guess which celebrity wrote which ridiculous blog. Mr. Bertram takes your home improvement calls. And what can't Adam complain about? You Ace Man, here's one for you. I bet you can't complain about the Jack Man being a Playboy Mansion VIP. Very immense penis. Stole that one from Revenge of the Nerds too, peeps. Hell of a flick. Jack Man's got the director's cut. Director's cut, also what I call my penis. I'm circumcised, peeps. Beep.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. Live from Los Angeles, it's the Adam Carolla Show.
Jack told me that last weekend, him and Leo, the film freak, watched the Criterion Collection of Revenge of the Nerds.
Ah, they have that.
And then just spooned.
I will not soon forget Jack Silver's costume last year at the Playboy Mansion.
Pickle barrel?
Oh, yeah.
Classy.
Very.
Nice big knot hole right in the middle.
That was the best part.
Yeah. Says he's going to outdo it on Thursday night. We'll
be myself a nerd.
We'll be looking forward to that. All right. We have an intro to this. A little Adam Carolla father figure.
Is your baby daddy not in the picture?
Son? Yeah, Dad. How was your day, pal?
Well, give Adam a call and let him be the father figure.
All right. You got problems, I'll answer them. And again, lots of divorces, lots of single moms, lots of dads. I must say, my dad dispatched almost no advice to me, and I resent him for that.
Yes, but he taught my example not to care about anything.
Right, became a world-class napper watching him on the sofa.
And just so you're aware, I actually came to Adam a year ago and said, my son is on a basketball team, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me out? So I have actually used Adam, father figure.
Yeah, you don't have to be estranged, although turned out that way. Charlie?
Yeah, gotcha. What's up?
What's going on? Affirmative. Yeah, hear you.
Gotcha.
What's up now?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi to Adam and Danny and Teresa.
Thank
you.
How
are you guys doing?
Nicely done, man.
I like that.
What's happening?
Well, bro, you know, the kids become teenagers, and my son, Justin, became a freshman last year, actually, down here in Southern Cali, Indio Cali.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up flunking about, I shouldn't even say this, but he flunked about three classes, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
How did he do in the other two classes?
Well, let's put it this way. He was under the 1.0, okay? You know what I'm saying?
So let's put it this way. When he said, Dad, I have five classes. I flunked three of them. I flunked three out of the five, but that means I'm passing 75% of my classes.
luckily he had a... athletic, so that bumped up his GPA, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, but that's good. So he's not doing well. He's not scholastically inclined.
Well, you know what? I don't get this idea that he has that he's just a duck jock. I have two other kids that are both getting ready to graduate out of college, and he's, oh, Dad, I just happen to be the dumb jock, Dad, and I don't buy this.
Well, Charlie, can I say a couple things? Is he around, first off?
Well, actually, no. This is a private call. I don't even really want him to know that I'm calling.
Okay, all right. Here's what I would say to him. Let's talk about athletics. Let's turn it to the realm of the physical for a second. Some people are gifted physically. They just run faster, they're stronger, they're whatever. And then there are other guys who want to make the team who have to live in the weight room and they have to run wind sprints long after everyone's gone home just to get up to the level of the guy that's not working very hard. Your body works that way. We all know people who eat whatever they want. They never put on a pound. And then there are those of us who will pack on the weight if we do that. Thus, we must work harder. Now, we're all jealous of the guy who can eat whenever he wants, just like we're jealous of the guy who never has to study and still gets B's and A's on all his tests. And there are people like that. Every category, whether you're talking about your physique or you're talking scholastics, there's always someone who's a natural, who it comes very easily to. You are going to have to explain to your son that he is going to have to work, just like the guy on the football team that's not as gifted as he is athletically. He's going to have to work as hard as that guy does on the field, on the books. And I'll bet you that guy who works twice as hard on the field, who's not gifted physically, I bet the books come easier to that guy, unless he's been dealt a horrible hand in life. And that's just it. Certain things come easy, certain things come hard. You actually learn more from the things that come hard because you're forced to apply yourself. The stuff that comes easy, you never get any growth out of because it's just that easy. He is going to have to apply himself, and you need to take the thing that he is good at, which is the physical stuff, and you need to use that as a model, and you need to explain to him that he's going to be, I'll give you an example too. If you want to be a good football player, you have to like live in the weight room. There's no footballs, there's no AstroTurf, there's no cleats, there's no nothing. You do something else, it makes this part of your game that much better. I say when he starts hitting the books harder and excelling in the classroom, it makes his athletic life better as well. It's not a direct correlation, but it's a mental correlation, and you're going to have to take what the kid does love and tie it into it, or you beat the crap out of him with a slipper.
Hell yeah.
I mean, and by the way, that's how every one of these conversations ends. We'll talk about theory, we'll talk about psychology, we'll talk about motivating, but everyone has at the end of it, or you beat the holy F out of him with a slipper. So I will, you know, I won't even mention it anymore. That'll just be, you'll know that's the B. That's
understood.
It should be understood. Yes, I don't know what you do with people that are bad at stuff. I was a horrible student, and you just want to get away. There's two ways you can react to things you're bad at. You can attack it, or you can run from it. If you run from it, that's a long life of running from things, and it turns out the thing that you're bad at, you could have been good at in a year versus running from it your entire life. It really does turn out that way. And again, your only real growth is doing things you're bad at. The things you're good at, the things that come easily, no growth there. Really. I mean, you get a little bit, but you never get the kind of growth. And it's weird because the guys that are, all city and great athletes and big men on campus and jocks and everything, they get the most satisfaction when they get their degree. You know, those guys that did something that was nothing, you know, getting a 1100 on their SATs or something that wouldn't be a big deal to a lot of people. You'd think that that wouldn't be in your trophy case, but they get the most satisfaction. A hot chick gets the most satisfaction out of being called smart by a guy.
And the reverse.
And the reverse, yes.
The only thing that bothered me about your analogy, because I thought you were right on everything, but one thing that troubles me is I don't know what bothers me more, being beaten or admit that I'm being hurt by a slipper. Why did I have to be a slipper, man?
Yeah, because Child Protective Services will get involved if you use dress shoes.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
They have heels, the patent leather. Plus, patent leather will slip out of your hand. You could break a window
if you hurt a pet. If you're going to beat a kid, beat a kid.
That's my motto. Right. Anthony?
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey, yesterday I walked in to my brother's house and walked to a really tense situation. He caught his son pinching his stash. He's been pinching his weed stash for the last few months. And I don't know what to tell my brother. It's like, dude, you smoke. You know, what are you going to tell him?
Dude, I waited for you, man.
Hey, what's your brother do? How's his life
He's
working out?
He's a loan broker, so he moves around and sits on his ass pretty much most of the day, but he likes to toke it up. He does pretty well for himself.
How old's your nephew?
He's 15.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you could talk to his nephew or your nephew?
Oh, I talk to my nephew all the time, and what upset me yesterday was not that he was pinching his dad's stash, was that he pinched his dad's stash, and his dad found out he gave it to one of his friends. So his friends were running around with it, and it's like, you know, you got parents and calling police and all this stuff. I was more of a law enforcement, deterrent.
Right. Okay, well, do you think he learned his lesson? Do you think he got freaked out?
I think he's going to turn into a total pothead.
Oh, really? Mm, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Did your parents have pot around the house? Did you see them?
No. Just me and my brother. My brother and myself, too.
But. Hold on a second. I don't know what the connection is, really, because I'm going to think about this for a second. My mom used to smoke weed when I was a kid. I looked at my mom, I looked at her lifestyle, I looked at the old sofas, I looked at the decrepit house and the welfare checks, and I said, nah, I don't know if it's because of the weed, but either way, I'm not taking any chances. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to drink from the same water supply as anyone in my family. I thought, this may be some sort of Jonestown loser Kool-Aid. Right. I'll just go drink from the gutter, play it safe. So that's the way I felt about pot. Then later on in life, I thought, let's not blame the weed. Let's not rush to judgment. So I started smoking the weed. And I never did it before work or at work or anything. It was kind of a weekend thing. And it didn't seem to change things in my life. The one guy, let's put it this way. There are two guys I know in my life who are good friends who still smoke a ton of weed and always did. From high school straight on through. And
how is Ray?
Those. Now, Ray doesn't smoke the weed,
ironically.
He'll do anything else, but he does not smoke the weed. We wish he would smoke the weed. He does not smoke the weed. I have a few buddies who do. Their parents, straightest arrows on the planet. No drinking, no smoking, no cigarettes, no booze, especially no weed. I don't know if there's a correlation.
I hope there is. Because if there is, if the rebellion is to do the opposite of what your parents did, you can be pretty confident none of my kids are going to do anything really fun.
Well, I don't know if this is fitting, but you ever had that friend that they had the junk food drawer at their house, or they had sugar cereal and little bags of Oreos, and they didn't care about it at all because it was there every day?
Not interested. I know.
It's Carl Weathers.
I used to go to these guys' houses. I would open that drawer that had the cupcakes and the Snickers bars in it, and a shaft of light would come from it. And it'd be like, my God damn, I found the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
And I would discover it at their house, and I'd be like, and I would run into the next room, and I'd go,
you have a drawer
there with Frosted Mini Witch?
I found the Lost Twins treasure. It's in your kitchen.
I'd be like sweating, and I'd be going, there's space sticks. Okay, slow down, Ace Man. There's carnation instant breakfast, which is really just code for chocolate milk. You have Ovaltine in there. You have the mini kinds of cereal.
Not interested.
You have Count Chocula and Frankenberry and Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Slow down. All right, let's put a plan together. Okay, we'll bivouac here for the night. Let's lay down stakes for the night. First son, we move toward the kitchen. We have a long journey ahead of us. We need to catch sleep. Okay, let's not panic. I gotta make a phone call. Oh my God, my head's swimming. My head's swimming. Fammy, dude, I gotta sit down. And they'd be like, yeah, that's the kitchen. Yeah, there's tons of that stuff. And I'd go, okay, you start a diversionary fire. Start a diversionary fire in the entry hall. I'm going in. Lay down some suppressive cover. I'm going to need some cover.
This is before you check the refrigerator and the freezer.
Okay. How do you get me think about the freezer and the refrigerator?
You got to throw some ding-dong.
There may be 50-50 bars in there. There may be push-ups. I don't know. I don't know how many of those guys we got to get out of there, but we're going in. Load up the choppers. So Black Ops, I'm rappelling into the kitchen through the flue. I'm going in through the flue over the stove. You start a diversionary fire over here with the funny pages. Then lay down some suppression, get some Skittles and lay down some suppressive fire. I'm going in. I'm going into the kitchen. I'm going to take out Delia. She's the maid. She's the only, she works at night. She's at night at the security stand. I'm going in. I'll tell you what I'm going to go for. I'm going for the Tang. We don't need the water. The Tang's light. What you don't want to do is go in there for the Sunny D. Don't be weighed down with Sunny D or chocolate milk. Go for the powdered stuff. We can fill it with a garden hose.
Absolutely.
I'm going in. Then what I'm going to do is going to take that thing of cupcakes and I'm going to punt them to you. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to kick those things. Then I'm going into the fridge. I'm looking for anything with a rip top, cups, any fruit cups, anything that says has a high fructose corn syrup. So I'm going to grab that stuff. I'm going to bring it back out. Okay. You just wait. And the guy knows me like, we can just go and eat what we want, but let's go out in the yard and play.
Play?
And so I'd go out in the yard and play for about 6 minutes, and I'd go, how about we go in and get some pudding? And he'd go, how about we finish playing? And I'd be going out of my mind because, right. You know, we had nothing. I had the crappy health food house. So, yes, the fact that it wasn't there made us weird.
This is what I'm saying about drugs.
Huh?
About drugs.
Yes.
There's a correlation.
Maybe there is.
Something's available.
I certainly don't find any. Here's what you can pass along. An addiction gene. You have a 50-50 chance of passing along an addiction gene. Outside of that, I don't know any correlation. You know, we do tons of it. Like, oh, you saw your parents smoke, now you smoke. A lot of, most kids I know whose parents smoke don't want to smoke because their parents smoke. You saw whatever. An argument could be made one way or the other, which is, I saw what booze did to my parents, I'm never going to touch a drop. Or then you go, I saw my parents boozing, and I thought it was okay. It's really, to me, up to the individual outside of the gene.
Bill Cosby once said that cocaine, this is what he had heard, that cocaine only enhances what you actually are. So I'm just wondering, if the Corollas had done cocaine, would they have been lazy faster?
Yeah, my dad's like, I'm going to take this 3-hour nap and squeeze it into 18 minutes.
That's what I wanted to add.
Something I call super sleep. Corey?
Yeah.
What's going on?
How's it going?
Good. Your mom smoked pot?
Yeah, but I've been smoking pot all my life. She has 2, I would expect.
Mm-hmm.
I found it when I was a kid, and I just kind of took a role model, and I just been doing it since. And I look at her life, and her life is pretty, I mean, I would really like to live her life, you know?
Right. Bet she would, too.
Would you like to live it in her clothes?
Not like that way.
Well, but again, all the people that want to blame their parents for everything.
No, I'm not blaming anything. I'm saying thank you.
Oh, you're saying thanks.
He wants to live his mom's life. What does your mom do?
I enjoy smoking pot. I don't think I would stop.
All right. And what does your mom do?
She works in a business. She works in an office for a company.
How old are you? I asked you how old you are.
I'm 21 years old, sir.
Okay. I have a question. We're doing a segment of the Adam Carolla Show, which is called Adam Carolla Father Figure. Where's the child that needs guidance in this? Is this you? Are you the child that needs guidance?
Well, I can tell you, I've been to rehab twice for cocaine, and it's really tough. It's really hard for me.
Answers my question perfectly well.
Hey, Corey.
Yes.
You may be saying this is a great life for you, but we're not hearing it's a great life for you. We're hearing the words, but it's the way they're coming out that's convincing us maybe it's not the greatest life.
Yeah, the problem is you're speaking English, and I understand you.
Right. All right, Corey, good luck. We need to take a break. I'm going to continue this. I went off on my sugar rush for a second, but yes, Teresa's exactly right. I used to find that sugar drawer in people's houses and freak out. We have some folks who want to know how to get into comedy, how to motivate the son who's a slacker, how to guide his son himself, and Kelvin, who can't finish anything he starts, which is probably the biggest handicap you could have as a human being on this planet. Forget about a limp, forget about cerebral palsy, forget about anything you think is a handicap. The handicap of not being able to finish things you start perpetually, trouble. Quick break. Be back with your calls next.
As the sperm flies on a sweaty, hot October night, old man Hef has a girl clean his pipes in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his girlfriend cries. If there's one thing she don't need to do, it's end up with a handful of goo in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Hefner, don't you understand? The grotto is a filthy land. It's a steaming crockpot human fluid stew. Syphilis and leprosy, crabs and hepatitis C. You never know what you will catch when you step inside that pool. As the water swirls, a sloppy drunk girl gets on her knees, and a horny young man gets a disease in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his penis burns. He'll need Valtrex to get it right, the downstairs itch he got that night in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Rich Banks, everybody. The genius that is Rich Banks. And Mike Lynch as well, combining with Rich Banks. All right, we're going to continue the advice train. I have some good ones. The I can't finish anything I start, which, again, is the most important issue in your life, whether you know it or not.
You actually said it's even worse than cerebral palsy.
It is.
This guy started to get cerebral palsy and actually couldn't
just
finish.
Just copped out.
Just got better.
Yeah.
I want to go to Hawaii.
But let's start with Andrew. Andrew?
Yes?
You need guidance doing what?
I would like to know how to become a writer for a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How old are you?
24.
Mm-hmm. What do you do now?
Right now, I'm just working on my portfolio for school.
Uh-huh. Well, the good news is there's more than one show.
Yes.
You know, I remember back in the day, and I'm sure, well, Teresa probably too young at 29 and 5/4.
Thank you.
Probably too young to remember this, but Danny too high to not to remember, but to have had it make an impact. When I was getting started doing sketch comedy in the mid-'80s, late-'80s, there wasn't any gigs. We all knew we were just wasting our time doing sketch comedy. There was Saturday Night Live, and that was about that. You could do stand-up. We weren't doing stand-up, but writing sketches, there wasn't a place. I mean, there just was. We weren't sitcom material, weren't primetime sitcom material, and then that was about it. We didn't know how the world would open up with 5,000 channels. And every one of them needing some writing of one form or another. So now, you know, if you would have said to me 15 years ago, 20 years ago, hey, I want to go to Hollywood and be a writer for television, I would have went, good luck.
Yeah.
Now at least there are a whole bunch of jobs. It's still a good luck, but it's at least realistic. Yeah.
And the day Adam's talking about, back actually, a little further back, when my dad was writing almost all of Norman Lear's shows, mm-hmm. I mean, as a writer, a script would say, All in the Family, written by Joe Bonaducci, or One Day at a Time by Joe Bonaducci, an episode.
Right.
Today, when you see Seinfeld, it's written by, and then 50 names fly by.
Right.
There's a writer's room where they just wing and wing and wing and wing and wing. What I would suggest, if you don't mind me stepping into your area yeah. for one moment, is that you find a way in it, you write a really complimentary show, a letter to the executive producer of your favorite show, and that should be all of them, by the way. You just hope mm-hmm. they don't know each other. And volunteer.
Dear Caroline in the City.
Exactly.
I've much enjoyed the work of you. Yes.
Try yeah. and write that letter to a show that won't be canceled by the time the letter gets there. Mm-hmm. But and then volunteer. You, this is what you want to do. Volunteer. I'll bring them all coffee. I'll bring the writers coffee. But also, Jay Leno will buy jokes. That's not a myth.
Mm-hmm.
If you fax Jay Leno a joke and he uses it, he'll pay you $50. And now you're a comedy writer.
Mm-hmm. 40 for knock-knock jokes. I found out the hard way.
I didn't know that.
I thought we had a deal. I thought it was $50. And he said,
No.
Yeah. Hey, Andrew.
Yes.
Here's the other thing, too. It doesn't sound like much whether you want to be a comedian, you want to be an actor, or you want to be a writer, or you want to be a musician. Do it.
That's the thing.
That's the other part that people don't understand. Oh, you can work as a writer from your own crappy apartment 8 hours a day if you want. You must keep writing. Everyone spends all their energy trying to get the gig. What about the product?
What about the writing? Absolutely.
What about the craft?
Yeah, I used to have this therapist, and he used to say, do, be, have. So you want to be a swimmer? You do. You swim. And then you have a swimmer's body, and you become a swimmer. Do be have.
Sink
you have
right.
a swimmer's
stone out. And depression.
No, that's true. If you want to be a musician, you got to
right.
play your
the
guitar.
The expression is writer's right. That's all there is to it. Writer's right.
Right. So Andrew, A, you need to write, and then B, you need to reach out. And here's how it works. I have found people. Look, here's how I became a boxing instructor. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. People don't want to let you do what you want to do at first blush. You can't walk into someone's door of their office and go, hey, guess who wants to be a writer? They'll go, guess who needs to get their ass out of the building?
No.
But if you say, guess who wants to work for free? Or guess who wants to get you guys coffee? Or guess who wants to fill in the blank? They'll do it. Now, when I wanted to be a boxing instructor back in the day, I walked into Bodies in Motion on Pico in West LA, and I said, hey, guess who wants to be a boxing instructor? And they said, well, we're all full up. And I said, you know what else I'm good at? And they said, what? I said, I'm a good carpenter. And the guy said, all right, I'm listening. I said, there's a bunch of stuff at this gym that needs a little carpentry work. He said, yes. I said, okay, I'll do the carpentry work for free or next to it. You just give me a chance to teach boxing. Now, all of a sudden, I was like, yeah, no problem. Why? I had something that he wanted. 10 seconds ago, I didn't have anything he wanted except for the belief in myself, which he didn't believe in. You can believe in yourself all you want. You know, people do that thing where it's like, you got to believe in yourself. You must believe in yourself. All these crappy PSAs with these blowhard celebrities telling you to believe in yourself. F that.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
It shouldn't be believe in yourself. It should be how do you get others to believe in you?
Absolutely.
Because you can have all the self-belief you want. I knew I was a good boxing instructor. I knew I knew how to do it, but the guy who owned the gym didn't, and he didn't care, and he didn't have the time to find out. So he believed in carpentry, and that's what I made him believe in, and then he let me teach. That's how it works. That's what you must do. No one's going to let you do what you want to do at the beginning. You must do something else for free, and then once you're doing that, they're not going to turn away a good writer. They're not going to yeah. turn away. I know this guy. He's running a business. He's not going to turn away a good boxing instructor. He doesn't know there's a good boxing instructor standing in front of him. He just thinks there's a good carpenter standing in front right. of him and doesn't care about the other one. Later on, when he finds out you're good at fill in the blank, they're not going to turn you away. They'll appreciate it.
I just thought of something on this free level that this actually happened to me yesterday and last night, this exact story. We were talking about, this is the Adam Carolla show, so I don't make Adam Carolla money. I make Danny Bonaducci money. But I make real good money on weekends if I'm willing to do the hassle of going and doing stand-up comedy. And I called up George Maloof in Vegas. And I said, George, I'm tired of traveling around. I hear you have a biweekly comedy night. I'd like to be your permanent host. I'll do the first 2 weeks free of charge. If you see your revenue go up, you hire me as your permanent host. And he goes, done. Got a call back yesterday. My first night is November 10th. So going up to the Palms, and you'll see me doing exactly what Adam just told you. I get paid a lot of money to do what I'm about to do on the 10th, free of charge. Nice room and a nice dinner he's buying me, but I'm doing it for free to see if it raises the revenue, if it's the kind of casino that needs a real comic.
Almost every great success story has some freebie crossroads.
Yeah.
Has some part where the guy tells him to get lost and he comes back anyway. And he picks up a broom and starts sweeping the shop because he wants to learn the trade, even though the old codger who's been building the engines for 30 years tells him he doesn't have what it takes. That's how it works. Dedication and sometimes sacrifice and freebies.
Yeah, yeah, good advice for young Andrew. Find a show he likes and offer to work for free. And then the crap tasks that you're given, just do them well, right?
Do them really well.
Excel. And again, as I've said many, many, many times, your boss knows what's going on. That's why he's the boss. Part of being a boss is knowing what's going on. We used to sit up in our office at the man show, and we were the bosses, and we knew what was going on. And I didn't even know a lot of the interns' names or a lot of the peons. I just call them peons.
Our underlings.
Underlings' names. We just knew, oh, that guy, the big dude with the curly hair, that guy's spot on. He's Johnny on the spot. That guy's a hard worker.
Yep.
And we would talk about it. And we'd say, hey, next year we got to hire some APs. And we'd go, big guy, Sasquatch with the curly hair, that guy's awesome. Oh, we knew it. We always knew it, and your bosses know it. It's their job. They don't tell you they know it.
Adam
they just
said it
know it.
When he said, just see if you can hold your breath that 1 second longer, it's the same thing. Your bosses will know that you held your breath that 1 second longer. You went that one further stride than the other guy.
Kelvin?
Yes.
We also knew the bad ones, too. There was a guy named Half Nelson. Actually, his name was Nelson. Jimmy just called him Half Nelson, and he got Half loaded ass. at the rap party and told everyone exactly. One of the juggies had a brother who was a born-again Christian.
Nice.
And Half Nelson got sloppy drunk, made sure he went and found the brother, who was a very devout Christian, and explained to him in long detail how he nailed this chick because he convinced her he was born again.
Oh, no.
Even though he was an atheist, he just did it to get in her pants. We start talking about thumping the Bible, and then he got into graphic detail about how he's working over this Christian
chick.
Bitch. Just sloppy drunk. That's awesome. I wanted to hire Half Nelson next year, if you're listening. It was Jimmy that said no. Hey, Kelvin. What's up, Kelvin?
Well, I'm one of those kids that can start something and then never really gets it done.
Well, how old are you?
I am 20.
Okay.
21's just around the corner.
I'll be fast. I was 20 once and never did anything. I never saw anyone do anything either and thought it wasn't in my DNA. But
exactly how I feel.
Here's what you don't have. I know this sounds weird and philosophical, so I have to close my eyes. You don't know what it feels like to get something done. You never saw it in your family, and you don't think it's mathematically possible. You understand intellectually, yes, I could start a project and finish it, but you don't know what it feels like. And once you know what it feels like, you won't know what it feels like not to get stuff done. You must break your bones and reset them. And that is a process, but it's easily done. It's done over the course of time, but it's completely doable. I did it right through my 20s, and by the time I was 30, I was ready to go.
I redid myself. I made myself over. And I think you, young Calvin, are putting yourself down a little bit. First of all, you're actually on the Adam Carolla Show. You didn't think about getting Adam on the Adam Carolla Show and getting your question out there.
You dialed the
numbers. You got through. You got past the phone screener. And now you are talking to Adam Carolla and getting your advice. You're 20 years old.
Yes,
is that correct? When was the last time you grabbed a hold of your erect happiness, if you will, and started that process, and in the middle of it went, yeah, I don't really care that much? Or did you finish that project every single time?
Not every single time.
Really? Sometimes you'll give up on
Kelvin.
That?
I have given up on that.
Really? Just give up on that all the time.
Yeah.
Just get tired.
You're fantasizing about a guy who has no face. How can you be trusted? Who was it? He was someone from work.
Who?
He didn't have a face. Are you kidding? What are you going to put your thing in?
But Danny's making a good point, Kelvin. Call and get on the air.
Listen, Kelvin.
Yeah, I was trying to.
Kelvin, here's the real point. By the way, getting through a phone screen or Teddy's like getting through a doorway that has just beads hanging.
Oh, it places the lotion in the bath. So,
and Vaseline.
That's no problemo there. Hey, Kelvin.
Yes, sir.
You are asking why at the tender age of 20. You're not blaming others. You're not pointing fingers. You're not blaming the man, your parents, or your boss. At age 20, you're saying, what can I do to improve myself? That means you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, I've been pointing a finger for a long time.
Yes. Well, now it's time to stop. And again, you feel old, but you're not. You're young. You'll be fine. Here's all you need to do. If something sounds difficult, do it. If your little voice in your mind's head says don't do it, then do it. If you're walking past something, pick it up. Don't stare at it. Pick it up. Do something. And eventually you'll just break your bones and they'll heal in the right shape. It's a weird thing. It's a mechanical thing. Just start walking around. Like I said, when you walk through your apartment, you see some socks on the ground. Don't walk past them. Stop. Go back. Pick them up. Just start training yourself. Eventually, you will just pick those habits up. All right, quickly.
Can I just really compliment you quickly?
Sure.
That in the middle of that, there was, I mean, not that it all wasn't wonderful, there's a nugget of gold right there. That you're only 20 and you're asking why I'm not better, which means you are better and you don't get it yet. That was really cool.
That was
right.
Inspiring.
That was really cool. It's true because most people are.
At 20? I'm 20.
Some people never ask the question of how can I get better. All right, quickly. This is going to be a tough one. I'll try to be fast. Danny, the caller?
Yes?
You're wanting to know what?
Well, I'm in a relationship with this girl. It's been a few months, and I like the girl a lot. I think she could be the right one for me. Mm-hmm. And has a child. Mm-hmm. And never really dealt with a situation like this.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
Girl, okay. Issues. How old is she?
3.
Oh, okay. Well, they haven't cemented themselves in there. 3's perfectly doable. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say 13, and that would be very difficult. But 3, malleable, pliable, and can handle it. You must be... good to her. You must remember that she's 3. She sees the world through the eyes of a 3-year-old, which is practically like the eyes of a lap dog, for Christ's sake. You must be the man, and you must realize that you must treat her with kid gloves. You bond with her, and you'll be fine. She's going through God knows what because her last papa is out of the picture, and she's got serious energy surrounding that. You must understand that. And again, as tempting as it is for a guy when some 3-year-old is doing something to them to go, oh, hey, screw that kid or whatever. Right. You're dealing with a 3-year-old.
You're dealing with a 3-year-old who's mostly probably just screaming, because if you ask any parent, and I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart, ask any parent when the terrible 2s start, and they'll all say 3.
Oh, really?
Everyone, swear on my life, ask any parent, the terrible 2s start at 3.
Bumped it back a year.
At 4.5, they're people. At 4.5, I can take Isabella anywhere in the world by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have a tantrum or cry or something every now and again.
Right.
But she was a real live person. At 3, I wouldn't take her anywhere by myself. My wife had to come.
You're in the middle of the terrible 2s at 3.
That's what's happening. Yeah.
And this person is damaged because her a-hole ex whatever was ripped away. Time will heal this one, yep. But you must act the right way during that time. All right, we're taking ourselves a break. T?
Yeah.
What do you got coming up in the news, baby girl?
Well, Ellen explained why she cried on the air. And I...
Hold on, do lesbians have menstrual...
I think they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was Tino. Sure she's
what do they need that for?
Triangle shaped, if I remember correctly.
I wonder if the lesbians will evolve to
not get their periods.
Well, the only reason you do it is for reproduction, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All you're doing is adopting.
You'd like to create the perfect lesbian?
You don't need a maxi pad to adopt.
I read years and years and years ago that breasts are getting smaller as through evolution because women weren't breastfeeding.
Less kids and
less breastfeeding.
Mm, good times. Mm. Maybe that'll happen, but she'll give us the reason why and what else.
And also, Mariah Carey explains how she knows there's a God, and it has something to do with her.
And I'm crazy in the rabbit's ass.
We'll take a quick break. News next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, Adam's old pal, Mr. Burcham, will take your home improvement questions.
Brandon?
Yeah.
What kind of name is Brandon for a boy? You don't win a war with a bunch of guys named Brandon.
We'll give you another chance to win your tickets to the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto on Thursday night.
Playmates, lingerie,
a lot of girls with a lot of blonde hair.
Bust out the new game, Blah Blah Blog, and play a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About?
You call in, you throw out a topic, I complain about it.
866-901-ADAM.
We're not retarded children.
Good times. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. T-Bone.
Yep.
Do the news, girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Hard to miss the wall-to-wall coverage of the fires out here in Southern California. One report filed by a reporter in San Diego named Larry Himmel was particularly compelling. He's reporting for Channel 8, and he was broadcasting in front of his very own home in San Diego, which was
on
fire.
Excuse me, I don't want to jump in, but Larry Himmel is the name Jimmy uses when he orders porn on the internet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's confusing, you know. Hmm.
Maybe shouldn't have said anything.
Oh.
I think this is a different
Ace Man.
I think this is a different Larry Himmel.
Okay. He gets one laugh during this. It's not Himmel. wait, that came out wrong. I'm sorry.
I know what you mean.
We know what you meant. He's not laughing. He's broadcasting. His home is on fire. You will hear wind. You will hear fire. And he does a decent job considering the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You can see my hose right here. I am trying to do something, but Southwestern style house. I've been in it about 25 years. Out here, when there was nothing. We did the clear brush. We did what we could. This was a living hell coming over the hill. And this is what I come home to today.
Yeah, I saw that. His hose was valiantly trying to do something. The hose was just in the background, just sort of squirting around.
Did you see the fireman that turned on the hose full power too fast and just went flying?
Yeah.
Then he got under control and did his job. I mean, he's a full-on hero. But I'd never seen that happen in real life. A fireman getting tossed around by that hose?
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
No, I know. It really can knock you around. I mean, just you have to really be in the sort of tug-of-war position before the guy turns the thing on, or it'll just blow you out of the water.
I told you, I almost killed that girl with one once by accident when I set her clothes on fire. Remember?
Oh, in your apartment in North Hollywood /Van Nuys.
Yeah.
You ran and got the hose down the hallway.
Huntington Street.
Yeah, and turn it on.
I put the hose in the room next to the fire, ran back down, turned it on full blast. I run back into the room, and the brass fire nozzle is smashing the windows and holes in the wall and has split this chick's head all the way open. So now I got a house on fire, a thing that could kill me, and a bleeding girl. It was an excellent
Tuesday.
Yeah, you
can't just go crank up a fire hose.
No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Lesson learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially by Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen went back on the air. She had to take a little time off to deal with the aftermath of Iggy the dog. Mm. As you may recall, she
adopted
a dog.
Must be great being a chick.
Yeah.
So let me explain how this works in the
Please.
Dude world.
Okay.
Hey, executive producers. Yeah. You remember my lap dog, the Shih Tzu Iggy? Yeah. Remember how I gave it to my hairdresser? Yeah. Well, the place I adopted from took it back from her, and I'm pretty broken up about it, so I'm going to need to take a week off. Oh, okay.
The good news is you're fired.
Well, here's a memo to from Megapuss to Headpuss over here. Don't come back. get your ass out on stage and start making with the comedy. Spare me with the lapdog crisis, you puss.
Wow, I didn't even say anything about a dog, and I got the get with the comedy memo last night from Jack.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a dude trying to pull this off, it would have been, oh, please. Would you get your ass together, you puss, and get back up there and just go tell a joke? And by the way, you're making $100,000 a day. That's enough. Fake it, would you? I'm not in a good mood either. Fake it.
Well, after her me day, Ellen came back on the air. Here is some of what she had to say.
If you haven't heard what's going on with me, welcome back to Earth. Those of you who are older in years on this earth, and as I am getting older, and you learn that you never stop learning. You just, no matter how old you are, you constantly learn, which is a good thing. And what I've learned, this is my most recent lesson, is that apparently if you cry on television, people will talk about it.
We'll talk about it because it's over nothing. You see, we're sort of human beings, and there's two parts to us. Gonna sound like my weirdo dad here in a second.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
It'd be easy.
Yes, never said hell yeah to anything his entire life. That was yeah. We tune in to other people's vibrations in a weird way, and the reason we're talking about it is because this is weird.
Oh, great.
You see, if Ellen had come on television and said, I'm sorry, I know it's a comedy show, but my mother was claimed by breast cancer earlier this morning. She'd been fighting it for quite a long time. She was heroic. She was in her 80s, but now she's gone, and I'll miss her very much. Mom, this is for you. That would have been a blip on Entertainment Tonight because, of course, her mother died. She's died of breast cancer. This is very sad. And we all, as a society, would have moved past it because it wouldn't have gotten on our weird little radar. Wouldn't have gotten on our weird. There's a part where we're human beings and we're out in society and we have to dress and put on makeup and do all the rituals that you do as a human being. And then there's a part of us that's still a little bit of an animal that our little antennae starts flicking a little when we notice weirdness. Somebody breaks down into a heap over a lap dog that's still alive, and our little antennae start going, weirdo, and then we start talking about it. We don't even know why we're talking about it. We're just talking about it. So what happened there with Ellen is she played her weirdo, her broken person, her what the hell's going on hand in front of everybody, and we all tapped into it. That's why we made a big deal of it. Not that she was crying. Why she was crying. That's what tipped us off.
You want to hear some more of what she had to say?
Please.
You know, you have people where you're not supposed to cry. You know, some people are raised with mothers saying, don't cry, or, you know, and I don't know. I've always cried since I was a little kid. I'm a sensitive person. I cry. I cry at commercials. I cry at stories. I cry at anything sweet. And I cry at babies. You know, I cry. And so to me, I feel better after a good cry. You know, what you don't want to do is keep in a cry because then you get bloated. And,
make a joke. No. Joke all you want.
Nope.
Weird. It's not, and don't turn it on us. We're not uptight. We're not, it's not that you're super sensitive. Something's wrong with Ellen, and she showed it,
right.
And we tapped into it, and that's why we're talking about it.
And the reverse can happen with an audience and doing the unthinkable, bringing this to me for a moment. if fair play.
Mm-hmm.
Would have just put his hands out and landed like a human, it would have gone, bump, hey, that was funny.
Right.
That would have been that.
Right.
Instead, he was allegedly not in a capacity to think, hey, I should probably stop this.
So what you're saying is
we watched because it went really bad, because then something bad happened, and that became interesting. Now I'm Rocky when I walked down the street.
It's sort of like, remember where Michael Richards freaked out at the Laugh Factory
A
year ago or whatever? He used a bunch of racial epithets, which is not a good thing in our society. But really what we were reacting to was him freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the part. Like, see, we go, oh, man, he used the N-word. Oh, man, there were black people in the audience. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. That's half of it. The bigger half is that dude just came undone.
Right.
This is one animal to the next. We just saw one of our animal brothers come undone. And that's what we're reacting to. We don't even know it. We just talk about the N-word. We're lost in the N-word. But the N-word, all right, it's been used. It continues to be used. I think we can get over the N-word. It's him coming unglued that we tapped into, and it was Ellen coming unglued that we tapped into, not the loss of the dog or the crying. Thank you. The more you know.
Just sometimes I think you do the more you know, and you don't think your point came across as clearly as you wanted it to, and that did. That's exactly right. We tap into the fact that someone broke, because we all know we're breakable.
Something seemed weird that with Ellen.
Hell yeah.
And somebody snapped.
It
now there's a new
me the
show.
Wrong way, yeah. though. I thought it was refreshing that she was crying.
I agree with you, Teresa. I don't want to make fun of people who show their emotions or who cry or are sensitive or have feelings, pussies. But I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's why we tapped into it.
That's unusual.
We're dying to be human beings, and it's weird, and we tap into things, and we don't even know why we're attracted to certain things. Like I said, cry all you want about something else. We don't care. The idea that you showed us, she showed something there. She showed she was vulnerable, not sensitive per se, but that something was a little wrong. Just like Michael Richards showed, not that he was a racist, but that he snapped.
Yeah.
That something was in him. And what Ellen showed is not only does she love pets, but something is in her. And that's what we clued into. And that's what's news as human beings. Thank you.
Mariah Carey was on The View.
Yeah. Hold on. Is she still on the East Coast?
Oh. I don't know.
I got to get Terry fueled up. Got to get those drop tanks worked for my pterodactyl.
Well, what if Mariah Carey, what if there's the off chance that she wasn't annoying? What if she didn't attribute the existence of God?
Here's my problem with Mariah Carey. She has ability. You know what I mean? Someone like Britney, no problemo.
Right.
She's not doing anything. She did lip syncs or concerts. She has horrible pipes. Not good for anything. Mariah Carey, nutty's the day is long. A narcissist deserves to go into the volcano head first.
Right.
I don't normally ask Terry to do that, but she deserves to go in head first, but beautiful pipes and cans.
You're being kind, you know.
Hmm.
She should go in feet first and slowly.
It's just she has natural ability, and I understand that.
Yeah, no, she's great. I'm just saying if you want to hurt somebody, don't dump them head first in the magma.
I know.
Feet first, slowly. Like a lawn chipper.
Let's take a listen.
All right.
What works for me? Prayer works for me.
Okay.
Reading the Bible does work for me because knowledge is power, and I believe that it's there for a reason. And I'm not going to say I'm like this, you know, you can't talk to me because I'm so holy. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying to me, being spiritually centered is always going to work because there is a God who has given me the gift to be able to sing. Mm-hmm. I think when you've been given a gift like music, it's so powerful and incredible that you just cannot deny that you're being given something from somewhere, especially as a songwriter, too.
It's the greatest self-congratulatory pat on the back you can give yourself without getting into trouble, which is God has reached down and touched me.
Right.
That's as if someone else did it, thus you can't take credit for it. On the other hand, it's the height of narcissism because God came down and gave me a sense of humor. Well, see, the clouds parted, a shaft of light came through it, and I was hit by it. That was God blessing me.
Okay, but I've heard you use the expression, because I use it too, about being hit by lightning. Like, there's certain people that are as funny as other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it all the time. There's a waiter down the street. He's got to be 5 times as funny as I am, I'm sure of it. But I got hit by lightning and he didn't. That's the way I look at it. Maybe that's what she meant. Maybe she's a big old blowhard.
She believes in God, and she believes that God blessed her. And that's fine, except for if he doesn't bless all his children, now what are you saying? It's the ultimate narcissist. People think the ultimate narcissism is I think I'm great. I think the ultimate narcissism is God thinks I'm great.
Yeah.
You believe he's the Almighty. All right, T?
Well, I can't take credit for my ability to do the news because it's something that doesn't come from me. Mm-hmm. It comes from above.
Mm-hmm.
CNN. But that was it.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
you, CNN.
Well, Blotto and the Grotto's tomorrow night. Yeah. We have a chick with a big schnoz and a guy with a big head and a short guy with red hair. And what about producer Angie? Well, we got a nice drunken chick. Candace Stocks is her name. She was number one with 35% of the vote. She sent her picture in. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. She's the one in the bikini looking very sloppy on the back of the ski boat. Nothing better than chicks on wakeboards that are throwing up. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we will speak to our winner next.
Six, the Adam Carolla Show went to the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto. This year, Adam wants to assemble a crew of crack party commandos. So if you're a party veteran and you want to crash the Playboy Mansion, call 866-901-ADAM and maybe you can join the Ace Team.
Good times. Not only do we need a drunken chick, and have we selected a drunken chick to take a picture next to producer Angie, we're going to need a world-class hesher.
Dude. I waited for you, man.
Dawson is our own resident. He's really, I think he does something on the show. I see him as more of just a hemp mascot.
Dude.
I don't see a production guy. I just see a dime bag coming down the hall when I see Dawson.
Dude.
So if you want to go to AdamCarolla.com and send in a picture of you with a bong, smoking out of an apple, smoking out of a tennis shoe, you can try to doctor whatever you want. I think our people will see through it. But whatever you have, I mean, it's like all the drunken chick pictures are clearly drunken chick pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing staged. This isn't something from earlier this week in the morning where somebody worked something up. I mean,
drunk.
For Christ's sake.
I'm drunk.
Candace here is on the back of a ski boat at Havasu falling apart.
I'm an expert.
Yeah.
I remember walking into the Rainbow in 1985, and me and my friend Kit walked in, and just as we walked in, this chick finished her shot and just kept going right over the back of the bar stool.
Mm-hmm.
And Kit and I went, that's the girl for us. Helped her up, and off we went.
That's right. Pre-AIDS.
Yep.
I waited for you, man.
Different time. Yeah, I don't know. Again, we talk about on the show what makes a human a human. An art expert can walk up to a painting and go, nope, that's not the real thing. That is not a Pollock. And you go, why? It's just a bunch of squiggles on a stupid thing. And you go, not a Pollock. Not going to work. I don't know why, but that is a gift we have as human beings. I can tell if you're drunk or stoned as opposed to acting drunk or stoned. Candace?
Yes.
You're calling from Sacramento?
Yes, I am. Hi, Adam.
Where were you when you took this picture?
You're an alcoholic.
We were at a lake. It wasn't Havasu that time. It was Folsom Lake.
Folsom Lake, even better. And you're on the back of a Nordique ski boat?
I think that was a Nautique.
Oh, well, whatever it's pronounced, however it's pronounced, Nautique. No. You're not excited that even though you don't show any of the boat, I knew the type of boat it was?
That was awesome. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
God
not as awesome when I coax it out of people.
I know, God that didn't take something away from it. Don't you want to bring me some flowers?
Yeah, you know, it's early.
You know what?
You are an alcoholic.
One time, as I famously said on Loveline, girl called in, was talking about her loser boyfriend. And I said, that loser. And I said, listen, dump that guy. He's let him keep his crappy job at the batting cage. And then you head off and get with a real guy. And I said, and by the way, what does your boyfriend do? And she goes, works at a batting cage. And I said, well, I guess that. And she goes, yeah. And I said, you didn't want to say anything?
You
want to
freak out on that
she
one?
She said, but he works in a batting cage. I said, I know, but I guessed it.
I know, but I didn't know, and what are the odds?
Right. Humor me a second while we talk to Candace. Because I'd like to know, Candace, on this day, on this houseboat, how drunk were you?
Pretty drunk.
Yeah, you
I've been known to be a little bit more than the average girl out there, but I just have a good time.
But hot in a bikini is a good way to be drunk. I notice your head is resting against a guy's groin.
Also good.
Points.
Which is good.
What do you drink, Candace?
Bud Light. I'm a Bud Light drinker for sure.
Ooh, points deducted. I love Bud Light. Don't get me wrong. It's a fine beer, but a real drunk? drinks a light beer. You drink a light beer as
a
chaser.
Yeah, but she's a girl.
I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't
want to
get fat.
So, yeah, you look and look.
You shouldn't drink big fat.
You're going to walk around in a two-piece all day. You gotta count the calories.
Yeah, no carbs and straight liquor.
Candace?
Yeah, that's how we spend most of our weekends in the summer on boats.
I notice you're not wearing a life preserver.
No.
But you're
I am old enough.
Drunk off your ass. Did you go out skiing drunk?
Yeah, I've done that. We wakeboard nowadays. So
wow, I said
it's
that
actually
too.
Easier when you have a few beers. So, yeah, it's fun.
By the way, she has called you old.
I like that. All right, well, Pops Corolla's going to get on his. I actually am so old, I use three skis.
Yeah. You're not old, you're just really well hung.
Three skis, that's right.
Hey, Candace, do you have an outfit for the Halloween party?
Yes, I will have one, because we were going to go to the big one in San Francisco Saturday, but I think we'll change our plans.
Swingers. What are you gonna go as?
I'm not sure yet.
But you have a cute little body, so you want to show that off, right?
Exactly.
Smart. All right, baby doll, we'll see you Thursday night.
Thank you.
Good times. Now, remember, you don't have to do much, but you do have to get sloppy drunk, and when it's time to take a picture, you need to stand next to Angie.
Okay, I will.
All right.
See, Candace is good for this because Candace and Angie are both blondes,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I think it will help Angie in the photo.
Yeah, and again, the whole reason this came about is when you take a picture, you don't want to be the drunkest guy. You don't want to be the shortest guy. You don't want to be the guy with the biggest head. You don't want to be the chick with the biggest nose. You don't want to be the guy who's the most high in the picture because all eyes will go to you. We are going to sort of counterbalance that by having one of us next to us, but in an exaggerated version of us. Dina?
I got out of my car this morning shirtless because whatever happens, I don't want all eyes on me.
It's really but it's really this way. If you co-host a show with Ryan Seacrest, you're the guy with the big head.
Right.
If you co-host
Justin Wang.
If you co-host a show with John Goodman, you're the guy with the small head. You can be the same guy. Who's standing next to you? Dina?
Yes.
Hi, Dina.
You have a question?
A comment. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, I think Danny is wonderful. I mean, I didn't realize he knows something about everything.
Yes, he does.
I think he's amazing.
Well, thank you. That was very kind of you. Thank you very much.
But Danny, there's a but.
Oh, there's always a button. There's always a caveat.
That's good, because I only went to you because I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
I'm just Danny knows so much. I was
What's
like, this is going to be funny.
Okay, here's the but. You're so athletic. You've got a hot body. Stomp the cigarette.
Oh.
No, big deal.
The
no.
butt's a literal butt?
The butt's a literal butt. And by the way, just so you know, I do know a little bit about everything. I am still tied for first place on Celebrity Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. No one's on my money. So I know a little bit about everything, but I don't know a lot. And I'm incapable of almost anything.
Better to know a little about a lot.
I believe that, too. So what about the cigarette?
Hey, Dina.
Yeah.
Did you used to smoke?
Yes, I did.
And you're obsessed with Danny quitting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to quit. I smoked for like 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit 20 years now.
Well, then, Danny, you smoke about 3 packs a day, right?
Yeah.
What about cutting back? You ever thought about that? Like, emotionally, you're not ready to quit. But what if you just said 2 packs a day?
Well, I have quit a lot of habits in my day. Some of them recently that you may not have even noticed. I've quit, of course, my drug habit, my drinking habit. Have you noticed?
Yeah. Are you talking about the Monster Energy drinks and the computer?
Not the Monster. I
was
going to
say the Monster Energy drinks, but I thought I've seen a few of those around.
No, those are protein drinks, and this is vitamin water.
No, not that, but I feel like I've seen the Monster Energy drinks in the last few weeks
days
or something.
Them. I didn't quit
them.
But, no, the last two things I quit were today. Do you see the computer that I usually stare at when my mind wanders? It's unplugged and turned away from me.
Wow.
My phone is in my briefcase locked up.
Holy.
The phone.
Good gravy, Batman.
I can't believe we didn't
know there was something different and less annoying. And I now know what it is. It's that phone blowing up.
The thing is, and not only that, it's also when I go outside and smoke a quick cigarette, because I smoke a cigarette in under 2 minutes. They just have 3 minutes to get back here and figure out what we're all going to do.
Right. Yeah.
But the texting thing is not paying attention to the show, and the computer thing is not paying attention to the show. and bad habits, I'm at least aware enough.
Your briefcase is blowing up, Dan.
my bad habits, I at least have one good habit, and that is I become aware of my bad habits and the ones that I believe I can fix.
Well, that's the only habit you need. But let me ask you this, and then we'll take a quick break.
That was so nice of Dina, by the way.
And get back with the blah, blah, blog. Yes, Dina.
About you.
From Garden Grove, by the way.
I know, but she's going to turn on me in a minute because I got a question for you.
Tell me, dig this for a second. We live in a society where it's just moderation is no fun.
Right.
It's no one wants to read a book on how to lose 8 pounds slowly. We want to know how to get ripped over the weekend. You know what I mean? Shredded and, 1 week or whatever it is. It's just no fun. There's a bunch of diets and a bunch of stuff. Anything but eat right and start exercising. That's boring.
Right.
When it comes to quitting, I've known this for a lot of people for a lot of things. I naively used to say all the time, well, how about just cutting back? Now, Dr. Drew would say, well, you can't do that if you're an alcoholic. And I'd say, all right. But I don't know if that is what Danny is when it comes to cigarettes. And if Danny smokes 3 packs a day, why can't Danny smoke 2 packs a day? You're a strong-willed individual. I bet you could do that. There's a thing where it's either on or it's off. And if it's on, well, screw it. I'm smoking 3 packs a day. But if you smoke 2 packs a day, wouldn't it be like you smoked in the course of 2 weeks what you would have smoked in 3 weeks or whatever
math is? A money saver. And one of the packs is purely out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because one pack is actually probably 5 cigarettes. And that's the pack I smoked during this show.
Where you take a few drags
and put it out and throw it out.
Right.
So that's one of the packs, but that's the fear.
But what do you mean out of fear?
Because we go to break, and I know when we come back, we're going to talk for a while, and then we're going to go to break again. That means, well, that's a whole half hour without a cigarette. Can I do that comfortably? Am I going to be thinking about that cigarette? Do you remember those commercials?
Yeah.
For, I think they were the Schick Center. And one was a lawyer saying, a real lawyer, and he's saying, you know, I had to quit smoking. I'd be sitting there with my in front of the judge with my client, and all I could concentrate on was my next cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm so glad you're not my lawyer. But I get fear of that.
Yeah.
If we go to break and I stay in here and we chat, that I'll have missed my opportunity to get that nicotine.
Well, the thing is the cigarettes or whatever it is you're into sort of begats the next one. So not... I know it sounds like weird, retarded math, but the more you smoke, the more it makes you want to smoke. Cigarettes sort of speed you up and make you want to have another. I think you could do 2 packs a day.
Right,
I'm not asking you to quit cold turkey or go 1 pack a day. I think you could do 2 packs, no problem.
How about this is a start? How about I smoke every single break, even though it's only like 5 or 6 puffs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, I will bring in exactly the amount of cigarettes for every other break in this show and no more.
Okay.
So that way I can't, or I will run out in the last hour and panic.
All right, for every other break.
Every other break. All right. So let's just say we take 10 breaks per show. I will only bring 5 cigarettes, and I'll put them right there on the table.
And we'll use them accordingly. But, Danny, we still need you to stand outside during the commercials.
If it's okay.
If it's okay.
Let me ask you this before we get off the topic. How do you feel without your ever-present phone?
There's a couple of phone calls I have wanted to make that were actually real. I wanted to call Gail Cohen and say, hey, are we all over this Fair Play thing? Is that because we're over it? We have to answer a legal complaint,
right.
And I don't know if we have, because she's a divorce lawyer. But she said, I'll check on this. So is that dead? That's a real call I want made right now because I was thinking about it and I got scared.
Right.
I also need to call the guy back from the Palms and say, I accept. I'll see you on the 10th. I'll play there. That's a real call I should make. But they can all wait till after this show and they're gonna.
Yes. I'll tell you, the phone being away, it was a weird thing. It's like somebody, you know what it was? You know when you go to someone, man, you look good today. And they go, yeah? And you go, did you get your hair cut? And they go, no. And you go, did you lose some weight? And they go, no. And you go, have you been tanning? And they go, no. And then you go, did you get laid? And they go, yes. The no phone Danny is a I got laid Danny. It's a weird thing. It doesn't, I get, there's a certain glow, a certain Genesis cell phone that you have that there's something. I said, I like Danny better, and I don't know what it is. No cell phone.
That was awesome.
You got the batting cage thing again just then.
You got laid?
Yeah, this morning.
When Danny says this morning, means at 3:45.
Yeah, because I still got to go to the gym.
I had no shirt.
All right, we need to take a break.
Sometimes it's just an honor to walk in your presence, man.
Well, I slipped into that one. Go,
go
to AdamCarolla.com and send in your stoner/bong pictures. We'll be making our selections.
I won't see it because my computer's turned backwards.
Dude, I waited for you, man.
We'll take a break. When we come back, the blah, blah, blog. We did this last week. Everyone loved it. We take actual celebrity blogs, T reads them, and we gamble on who they came from. Do we have an example?
Yes, I've got one. Okay, this is either the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan, tennis player Anna Konnikova, or Jackie Chan. Here's just one sentence from this real blog. Ha ha, you may not believe what I'm about to tell you. I get to film another commercial today.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
All right. We'll do blah, blah, blog. Get your wallets out. We'll do it next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
I woke up this morning in a tiki mood. I was hearing tiki music in my head. I went to the kitchen and made myself a Mai Tai. And I was on the way to the airport to actually try and go to Hawaii or the South Sea Islands. Then I realized that I don't have the time or the money to go to Hawaii. So I've done the next best thing. I've come to Whittier, and I'm going to spend the whole morning inside this warehouse.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
He's going to a warehouse in Whittier?
I think even he might have been kidding.
Explain Whittier for our out-of-town listeners. Why it's nothing like Hawaii.
Picture just some crappy place you speed through on your way to a marginally less crappy place. That's Whittier. You don't even know when you're in Whittier. People live in Whittier, don't know where they live.
I know I'm in Covina when I see mobile home sales places.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
It's like 2 sheets long, and that's what they do there.
Yeah, if you see a giant bargain whatever of or a giant RV, if you start seeing RVs or outlet malls, you may be in Whittier.
Right.
It's bad times. And then a warehouse in Whittier. Warehouse in Whittier is like saying, I went to the bad part of the outhouse.
Oh.
No.
That's what warehouse in Whittier. Strip club in Whittier, maybe. But warehouse in Whittier, bad times. All right, let's move forward with the blah, blah, blog. Do we have an intro?
It's time to play Blah, Blah, Blog, the game where we match the celebrity to their retarded online rant. Let's play.
I don't know what's in it for the celebrity to do the blogs, but they blog their little celeb asses off. We have actual celebrity blogs, and we're going to match them.
That's right.
I think I won in a tiebreaker last time, but I can't quite recall. I have my $20 out. You all should do the same. And T?
Yep.
We'll let the celebrity blogging begin. And although Teresa is reading the blog, she has no idea what celebrity it comes from.
By the way, my $20 bill is coming out from my security code that is now in my wallet.
Mm.
Remember I asked you yesterday how you do yours and I look like a geek with a name tag?
Yeah, the code magnet thing that gets us into the building.
Thank you again.
Wipe your ass.
Sound advice.
Press your ass cheek against it. T?
Let's get to our first blog.
All right.
This is either Deepak Chopra, Madonna, or Ariana Huffington.
Now, what about our tease blog? Will we get to that?
That'll be next.
Okay. Deepak Chopra, he's like sort of the health self-whatever guru, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How to live long and be happy. Madonna and Ariana Huffington, who sounds like one of the Gabor sisters and is in sort of left-wing politics.
Yeah, she runs the HuffPo. Huffington Post. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here goes. Elected officials are sent to Washington to govern, but not to rule. This may sound like a question of semantics or at best a fine distinction, but rulership isn't a legitimate part of democracy. When a governing class develops in a democratic society, it loses contact with the people who elect it. In many ways, America is burdened with such a class.
Wow. Mm. I got 2 out of 3, I'm pretty sure of.
It's tough.
I'm pretty sure who it's not.
Who are you ruling out?
I'm ruling out Huffington. It's either, it's one of the blowhards. It's Madonna or
Chopra.
And I'm going to, got too smart towards Madonna at the end, but I'm staying with Madonna.
You say Madonna.
You go Madonna. Interesting, because it was all politics, so you think Ariana Huffington, but then you think, well, that wouldn't be a game then. Or maybe they knew I was going to think that. Deepak Chopra, yes, too smart for Madonna, too on the nose for Ariana. I'm going Deepak.
I'm also going Deepak.
Interesting. All right, so two Deepaks, one Madonna. Answer, please.
Deepak Chopra.
Nice.
I'm going to wear my hammer.
You got instincts, baby.
Thank you.
I'll give you that.
Okay, this one is either.
It's a real genius to agree with me, the host of the show.
I'm going to do it more often.
All right, Dan Mann, 0 for 1, 1 and 0 for T and Ace. Let's keep going.
This one is either the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan, Anna Kournikova, the tennis player, or Jackie Chan. It's a tough one. Ha ha.
I feel like if there was some sort of sex wheel, I would spin it.
Really?
You gave me a wheel and you cut it into three pieces?
Yeah.
Big three pieces of pie?
Right.
One of them had Anna. The other had the dog whisperer, and the other had Jackie Chan. I'd say, spin it. Spin it.
You'd have to sleep with wherever it landed?
Wherever it landed, spin
it. You'd sleep with the dog whisperer.
I'll tell you why. Because as a straight guy, you know, when you spin that sex wheel,
yeah.
Normally it has like Tommy Lasorda or Elle McPherson
right.
on it. You're not going to do better than Jackie Chan or Cesar Millan in the gay department. If you have to go gay once... Those guys are both diminutive, hairless, sensitive, tanned men.
Maybe. What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
I say spin the wheel.
I used to keep it if I was gay list, and it was a bit I did on the air in Chicago all the time.
Well, what you don't want is, you know, Joey Buttafuoco and John Goodman on that wheel. That's what you don't want.
Maybe spin the wheel. Whisper Goodman. Something
Goodman. Just spin it.
Okay.
By the way, will a wicker basket do? Because I can get you sex on a girl that can spin in a basket.
Let's hear the block.
I'm sorry.
Ha ha, it begins.
Mm.
You may not believe what I'm about to tell you. I get to film another commercial today. To tell you the truth, sometimes I don't feel like filming commercials because I just don't have enough time to do everything. A lot of people ask me to be in their commercials, but I usually decline their offers. I truly don't have any time left on my schedule. A-Y-E exclamation point.
Mm.
Perhaps that's pronounced I.
It might be like I.
I don't really know what it means.
I have a new show on the Discovery Channel called The Cat Yeller.
What do you do?
I go to people's house and yell at their cats.
Does that work?
It's satisfying. Not for the owner, but people watching love it.
What do you yell at the cats about?
Hey, man! Quit blaming your parents! Get off the sofa! Let's go.
It's not how you treated Norman.
Oh, why'd you have to invoke Norman's
name?
You love
Norman.
I told you never to bring him up.
Sorry.
I just think that'd be the greatest ratings bonanza ever. Instead of that little guy going and talking to your lapsu-opsu about not crapping on the entry hall, I go into people's houses and I just start yelling at their cats.
Well, I don't know about the cats part, but I got one out
people
there
called... People hate cats.
I got one out there called Danny 911.
Mm-hmm.
I solve problems a little bit different from the nanny.
Well, maybe it'll be a nice companion piece.
Yeah, I think we should go together back to back.
Danny blows secondhand smoke in your kid's face until he does his chores, and I just come over to your house and start yelling at your cat.
Bitchin'!
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Is it Cesar Millan, Anna Kournikova, and Jackie Chan? Let me ask you this. Are any of these three native English speakers?
Interesting. Probably not.
You can barely understand Chan.
Right.
You can barely understand
a word. Kournikova was probably born in the former Soviet Union.
Her English is all right.
Yeah. Okay, so this
is... And the dog whispers to dogs. How the hell am I supposed to know what he sounds like?
This is obviously... Yeah, he speaks on a frequency that's not detectable by the human
ear. It opens my garage door and makes my dog sit.
That's right. This is tough.
I know.
Dog whisperer, Anna Corner. I don't think the dog whisperer's doing commercials for
either.
Some reason. Although, maybe he's doing them now and they haven't even come out yet. Or, maybe it's for Nuka Nuba or some kind of food and who the hell cares. Jackie Chan and then the A or the IE. Oh, Christ, what do you think, T?
I have to go with, this is a really hard one. Anna Kournikova is the obvious answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting!
So I'll go with her.
Okay.
Chan.
Dan's going with Chan. My first instinct was Anna Kournikova, too. I don't know why, but I'm going with Anna. It feels feminine to me. I'm going Anna Kournikova. Two Anna Kournikovas, one Chan. What is the answer, Bald Brian?
Ace, your sex wheel just took a roundhouse to the head. It's Jackie Chan.
No!
Ladies and gentlemen.
We're all tied.
You know why I took Chan? Because then you guys thought it was feminine. I thought it was a guy that doesn't speak the language real well at all, trying to speak the language well.
Mm. I just lost all respect for Jackie Chan. All right, let's do another.
I think we're all tied now.
Yes, we are.
Is this Alyssa Milano, Daryl Hannah, or John Cusack?
Spin the wheel.
You would deal with John Cusack?
I can't even hear him naked in the next room. I'm just waiting to see if he comes through the door.
I did like say
anything.
I'd
deal with Cusack. Just to do it with Daryl Hannah and Alyssa Milano. That's what you had to do to earn that.
No, it's not. It's if it lands on Cusack, that's all you got.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, without a wheel, if I could have those two chicks and all I had to do was do Cusack first, I just would.
Oh, yeah.
I'd make that, you know, I'd take that part.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Who wrote this blog?
Apparently, Anna and I are real guys. They really just want some.
I am extremely proud to inform you that the Network for Neglected Tropical Disease Control has named me the founding ambassador for neglected tropical diseases. Dr. Peter Hotez brought this epidemic to my attention in 2006. Dr. Hotez and I met at the Clinton Global Initiative, and I was overwhelmed by his passion and dedication in eradicating these 13 parasitic and bacterial infections.
Definitely Cusack.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Wow, this is a tough one.
I'm ready when you are.
I remember Daryl Hannah was sitting up in the tree. We know she's political.
Right,
right.
But that's too obvious, and that's how I went wrong with Anna Kournikova.
Mm.
I am going to have to say, do you guys have a guess yet?
I'm ready, undecided. Yeah. I'm good.
I'm gonna add a fourth here, Daryl Hammond.
Oh.
But as
Jimmy Carter, Anna Kournikova.
A lot. Fox.
I'm going Daryl Hannah on this one. Alyssa Milano, beautiful, not too hot and too young to get involved with these kinds of diseases. Cusack, I don't know. This just sounds too wacky.
He doesn't care about anything but Jeremy Piven.
And the thing is Cusack is too busy to get involved with this nonsense, and so is Alyssa Milano. If I say Hannah has time on her hands, thus she can travel the world looking for parasites.
I say if Cusack has a neglected disease, it's been given to him by the guy from Entourage.
Who do you say, Danny?
I'm going immediately with Alyssa Milano.
Really?
Yes, I am.
I am also going with Alyssa Milano.
Okay, so two Alyssas. I could take the lead here, or I could fall one behind. Alyssa Milano, Daryl Hannah, Jack, or I should say John Cusack. Who is it, Paul Bryant?
Who's the boss? Not Ace. It's Alyssa Milano.
Damn it! Yeah.
I don't appreciate the commentary, by the way, to who's the boss and the roundhouse kick to the head.
Just yesterday.
Just give the answer. Just give the answer.
Just yesterday, I remember hearing how funny Bald Brian is and why doesn't he turn on his microphone and talk more.
Yeah.
That's because he's going to agree with the Ace Man today.
That was yesterday.
You can still
stop
get
talking
back
for a while.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. Why don't you give a little teaser before we split? So, D-Bone, 2-1. Ace Man, 1-2 out of getting out of the gate strong. Give us a tease.
Okay, is this Paris Hilton, Mark Cuban, or Neil Young? Read any newspaper, any magazine, watch any news program, any gossip or entertainment program. There's one single item. Oh, no, there's one single. I think they're trying to say theme, but they said them. There's one single them that runs continuously. The search for vulnerability.
Interesting. Cuban, Hilton, or Young? We'll take a break. World's worst law firm, by the way. Cuban, Hilton, and Young. Quick break. Back with the rest of Blah Blah Blog.
Present Blotto in the Grotto, live at the Playboy Mansion.
Behind these walls, a world of madness and brutality within.
With Adam Carolla.
The brain of an insane genius.
Teresa Strasser.
The female breast can be deadly.
And Danny Bonaducci.
Created from the bodies of the criminally insane.
Featuring Hugh Hefner.
Rising from his tomb.
The Deaf Rat Guy.
A terrifying story that could happen to the kids in your neighborhood.
David Alan Greer.
Dracula's soul brother.
Larry Miller.
This monster. monster from hell.
The Kardashian sisters.
All obsessed with the taste of flesh.
At a costume contest that could send you to Sin City for 3 days at the Planet Hollywood Resort, thanks to TravelWorm.com.
We have painted a bloody picture, but it is only a small part of what actually takes place in
Blotto in the Grotto. Listen to the broadcast Friday morning.
If you have a strong constitution, we challenge you to test it and sit through
Blotto in the Grotto with the Adam Carolla Show.
And attention stoners, again, we're looking for pictures of you at your most stoniest.
Dude.
You can please play that.
I waited for you, man.
You got to beat out Dawson. So if you have a nice picture of you smoking a spleef out of a hollowed out apple or a tennis shoe, take the magic porn box, as you call it.
Computer.
And use it to go to AdamCarolla.com and send us that picture. We'll be doing our voting and we may see you at the Playboy Mansion. RIT, unfinished business, blah, blah, blog. You and Danny have now jumped out front 2-1.
I'm right, one and two.
Let's hear the tease.
Now, which of these three hopped on their magic porn box, as you call it, and blogged the following? Was it Paris Hilton, Mark Cuban, or Neil Young? Here goes. Read any newspaper, any magazine, watch any news program, any gossip or entertainment program. There's one single them, I think they mean theme, that runs continuously, the search for vulnerability. It doesn't matter what walk of life you are in. It doesn't matter what profession or year in school. There is now a blog, website, social network, column, reporter, video segment, and three question marks to cover it. Someone is out there searching for your vulnerabilities to report or for the vulnerabilities they think you will be interested in knowing about. Paris Hilton, Mark Cuban, or Neil Young?
Boy, it has hints of everything. One thing that jumps off the page is that sentence ends in a preposition.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So that...
grammatically, this is not a perfect piece of blogging.
But the life pattern makes me want to say Neil Young. But I know Mark Cuban hates it when he gets press that he doesn't manufacture. Actually, I used to hang out with that guy. So I'm going Cuban. And I'm in communist.
Tough. T?
Wow. It's too sophisticated a point for Paris Hilton. She's out. And I gotta agree with Danny on this one. I gotta go Mark Cuban.
Man, you guys have both agreed and both been right for the last two times. I agree. Too formed a thought for Paris Hilton to have, even though you would think she's the one she's talking about.
Right.
But I don't think she can articulate it. Cuban feels good. Neil Young feels like a wild card in there. Like, what the hell's Neil Young doing in there? That's the only reason. I agree with you guys. It's Cuban, but the fact that Neil Young is on the list makes me want to go Neil Young. I'm going Neil Young to see if I can get back into this ball game. Two Cubans.
Brian, tell him what weird, violent thing happened to his wheel if he's wrong.
One, I'm going for Neil Young, and if you keep telling me Ace keep on being wrong in the real world, I will come across this desk and smash you with my commuter mug. Go ahead.
Swish, it's Mark Cuban.
Swish is not. I just got that.
Yeah,
I don't get that sports stuff.
God damn it.
I thought you were calling him gay.
God, you guys are on a roll and going the same, so I have no excuse. It felt like Cuban. You know what I did? I made a mistake. I got up in my head.
Yeah.
I forgot what got me this far in the blah, blah, blah game. You see, I'm a champion. And the reason I'm a champion is because I don't second guess myself. I listen to the blog and then I attach a celebrity to the blog. You know what I did there? That sounded nothing like Neil Young. I just couldn't figure out why Neil Young's name was in that mix. Thus, it must have been Neil Young when, of course, it was Mark Cuban. Damn you, Ace
Man.
You
got to play your game.
That's right. I got to get back to my game. Well, even though I'm out, I'm still playing for pride.
Yeah. Okay. Is this MC Hammer, Star Jones, or Kanye West?
Hold that wheel. No, no.
No?
No spinning.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Kanye's cute.
Never been more sure about anything in my life.
Okay. Here goes. Hammer, Star Jones, Kanye West. Mama, you need to know how much I love and appreciate you. Time and time again, I have witnessed your strength, love and unselfishness and kind heart. I watched you raise 5 kids and sacrifice your life so that we could have a quality, loving upbringing. We never had a hungry day in our lives. We always had clothing. We were always clean. You taught us how to speak proper English and to respect our elders and to never be prejudiced. These principles have been critical pillars in our lives. Thank you.
Well, it doesn't mean anything, but I'm going Star Jones on this one.
I'm going Hammer.
I'm going Hammer.
You're going Hammer, too. Going Hammer. You could go for the win. You could go Kanye here.
And take it.
Yeah, but I believe it to be... what the hell? I'll go for the win. I'll take Kanye.
Please tell us it's Hammer time, Brian.
All right, so we have a three-way split for once. MC Hammer's T. If it's MC Hammer, T wins.
Right.
If it's Star Jones, I don't win, but neither do Danny or T. They go into a tiebreaker. And if it's Kanye West, Danny wins.
Am I too legit to quit?
Can't touch this.
Wow, and so sure of it as well.
I didn't really think the guy that said Bush hates black people didn't have a prejudice bone in his body. I was confident.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Principles have been a crucial pillar in our lives. Didn't sound like,
Hammer's a preacher now.
Yeah, don't hurt me. All right, T, what the hell did you just do there?
Won the game.
Did you go 4 out of 5?
Yeah.
Damn. T, that's some good stuff. Thanks. All right, well, you deserve the 20.
Thank you.
Take that.
Thank you.
Until next time, that was Blah Blah Blog.
I normally curse her when I give her my money, but you
weird.
Know what? You played a good game.
Thanks.
Won. Yeah. All right.
Wow, grace in the face of defeat.
Let's take ourselves a break. When we come back, just the greatest song ever recorded.
Really?
How about that? Huh. That's all I'm saying. The greatest song ever recorded. And then the second greatest song ever recorded. The two greatest songs ever recorded. And you've never heard either one of them.
I'm looking forward to it.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi there, I'm Hugh Hefner, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, yes. Now, as promised, the two greatest songs ever recorded. How did I come across the two greatest songs ever recorded that you never heard before? Well, I watch porn with the sound up, kiddies. You don't know what you're going to miss with the sound down. I never had a VCR growing up or any porn, but my buddy the Wheeze did.
Hell yeah.
And his dad had a couple movies. He had Taboo 2.
Nice.
He had Weekend Roulette. I think he had...
A Vegas theme?
Yeah. No, there were some nickel slots paying off, I'll tell you that. And I think he had, like, it's The Devil and Miss Jones. And I used to go over to my buddy's house, and we'd slap on Taboo 2. And I watched Taboo 2, and not only did I enjoy it visually, but sonically. It was a delight. Now, Taboo 2, the theme of the movie, the theme of the entire Taboo series,
yeah.
A guy named Junior, that's the son, is having sex with his mom.
What?
And with his sister.
That is taboo.
Yeah. And great grandmother.
What?
No.
And they made 20 of these, and they're all about a guy having sex with his mom and sister?
I think they made 20-something of them. Now maybe there's 22. Here's the thing that's funny. I probably saw Taboo 2 in 1983 or 84. It looked like vintage old 70s porn in 1983 or 84. And then I went and looked it up. It was made in 82. So it was a year old when I saw it, even though it felt like old 80s porn still does now. You know what I'm saying? So Taboo went all the way through the series. As a matter of fact, it's a nice thing, a nice keepsake. Like, if you had your first child in 1989, maybe you give him Taboo 6.
Yeah.
And I got my kids Taboo 21.
Because that's when you'll let them watch it.
And it's an important message to send that it's okay to have... sex not only with your sister
but
with your mom.
Anybody have see that movie The Aristocrats?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a live porno version of that.
Yes.
Yeah. So the guy's having sex with his mom and his sister in the past.
Yeah.
What
now,
the aristocrats.
Now, when you write a song about the kind of gent, the kind of cat that has sex with not only his mom, but his sister.
Hello, my baby.
I mean, you really, it wasn't that old. You really have to sit down and do some thinking. But somebody was able to do it, and it's called He's Got It All, and I'm going to sing along to it. Again,
wow.
This is a woman, and I'm not sure if it's the mom singing or it's the daughter singing or it's just an admirer from afar, but this is a woman singing about the guy who has sex with his mom and his sister.
He's got it all, yes he does. He knows how to please in every detail. He can do more than you'd ever imagine and do it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does.
That's how you know it's good writing. T, you getting hot?
Oh, yeah.
I know that you thought that you knew him. You thought that you knew him. Yeah? Uh-huh.
Well, maybe you did, but you don't.
It's disturbing that Brian knows that every word.
He only reveals what he wants you to see and then shows it all. And when he does, he satisfies me.
He's raping his mom and his sister.
You only it's not consensual.
Just what he could do. You'd want him to if you only knew.
He's got it all. By
you'd
young Joni Baez. I have to find out.
Was that a B-side to Blowing in the Wind?
Blowing something. Yeah, that is called He's Got It All or He Has It All.
How did this come to mind, Adam? Where did this come from?
I always used to just sing that song because I just like any song where he goes, yes, he does. That's what you sing when you're vamping and you're... You forgot the words or you're out of lyrics. Oh, yes. Like when you go like, hey, Danny is the greatest. Oh, yes, he is. He is. That's what it means. You have no rhyme.
Right.
You don't normally write down, oh, yes, he does on a piece of paper. That's when you've forgotten the lyrics.
I think they stopped that with She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last time you
well,
could do that.
What's the second greatest song ever?
Now be prepared to rock.
Okay, I'm ready to rock.
Okay, because later on in the movie during the orgy scene.
Oh, it's from the same movie.
Oh.
Mm. A young, spry Ron Jeremy, by the way.
Really?
Yes. Overweight, but not morbidly obese at this point.
What, his important part still past the stomach?
Yeah. Ron is doing his thing. He's in the orgy scene.
He ruins porn for me now.
Oh, he makes it better for me.
Still current Ron?
I like old gray pubes. He's in the orgy scene, and I think Junior is going to go at it with his girlfriend. He has a girlfriend. He does his mom, his
sister.
Girlfriend, and the sister, and it makes them all hot that they're doing each other. Important message for the young kids watching porn out there. But now, the rockin'. Now, this is a little tough because we had to lift it directly off the movie, so the recording isn't so great. We haven't gotten the masters to got to get it on, but let's hear it. Got the sax in there.
Gotta get it on,
I think it's the same chick who sings, gotta get it on. Getting her drifty.
Is this all song?
No, hell no. Here we go.
Feels so good. Whoa.
Whoa. We're going right back into Gotta Get It On. Finally, the band was able to cut loose and rock a little.
I just tried to get into program director Jack Silver's mind as he walked by. Does he love it because it's porn, or does he hate it because it's old? How does he feel, Adam? I can't know.
Loves it because it's porn.
Yes.
Feels so good.
Whoa. We have to find this chick.
Is she still alive?
Yeah, if she wasn't clubbed to death with a saxophone, we have to find her.
Okay.
Because I'm sure in 1982 when her agent called her and said, guess what? You into doing movie soundtracks?
Love to.
Yeah, what do we got? Star Wars 2, Raiders of the Lost Ark? What? It's a 2. It's a sequel.
Get me her real name and Gretchen will have her address in an hour.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know her real name. We're going to have to figure this one out.
Taboo's recently been re-released, volumes 1 through 6, by Addictive Entertainment.
Yeah, it has. I mean, oh, have to look into that.
Hell yeah.
I had no idea that was the plot of Taboo. I'd obviously heard of it.
Yeah.
But I thought that would be inherently unsexy.
Oh, you mean the plot being the mandate to get it on or to have sex with your sister?
How dare you?
How do you just, how does that creative process go, though? Like, hey, we're doing the soundtrack to Taboo 2. How about we're scoring an orgy scene? How about a song called Gotta Get It On, Gotta Get It On? Mm. How's that go? Gotta get it on, gotta get it on.
Have you
just keep saying that.
A real song enter your head like that and you wish your life was something like that?
Give us an example.
When the Pussycat Doll song said, don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend would do this like me? Yeah, don't you? Well, I was currently married to a diehard Christian who would not let pornography in the house, no kind of devices in the house, just nothing extra. It was kissing, touching for 30 seconds, sex for 2 minutes, and gone. And I used to listen to those hot bitches going, don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? And I'd go, yeah, I totally do. I really, really, really wish she was.
I just thought it'd be great to play He's Got It All. Like, you know, when Princess died and Elton John did Candle in the Wind?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you'll hear dust in the wind or something like that.
It's a lot in the wind.
It's my funeral, and it's like, father, loving husband, parent to Sonny Natalia, son to Jim Carolla and Chris Carolla. He was a great man. Cut down. In his prime, now people are just a heap of tears at this point.
I'm almost crying now.
T's throwing herself into the open grave, screaming, take me.
She does that all the time.
Now the preacher gets a little confused and he's going, I know that you thought that you knew him. Well, maybe you did, but you don't. You see, Adam only revealed what he wants to reveal. And then shows it all. And what he does, he satisfies me.
I'd be a little creeped out by that point.
All right. Well, we will see if we can figure out who
that's
sung Taboo.
That's a great Music Monday, unless we've already done it.
Porn themes. Ooh. Well, maybe we'll do that.
By the way, Taboo 3 was subtitled The Final Chapter, and then they made 19 more.
Now I feel bad, too. I should just be quiet and think I was thinking of porn themes. I was thinking of songs you would play at your funeral.
Taboo 3, The Final Chapter, and we're now up to 22. I'll tell ya. They're men of their word, the folks of the porn industry.
The first girls from Barely Legal are now 72 years old.
Oh, yeah. Barely walking is what they are
literally,
now.
I didn't buy it, but it was not that I'm against the Barely Legal. They're very good if you're like Barely Legal porn. But there's literally Barely Legal 270.
Right.
270 installments. So the first chicks have got to be on walkers by now.
I get the Barely Legal thing, but I don't get the Taboo thing.
Oh, yeah.
So the Taboo thing, it's because they're doing the mom
the
thing, but it's not really the mom. See some hot chicks, hope. But there are some now just out on the market. There's this thing I got because I got a stack of them. I spent over $100 at a porn store, and but it was on a toy. And they said you can have this stack with these, when you spend over $100, you get this whole thing. It's like 15
free
porns.
Yeah.
And they're regular porn, like not the good ones. They've moved on in what they're doing.
I don't like
porn.
When they give away porn, by the way. It devalues my collection.
Really? Well, there was one of it called Pushers and another one called Unnatural. and...
Wait. Yeah. Pushers and unnatural. Okay, yeah. And each one has
a theme. The rest of them were just normal, usually one guy, one girl having sex.
Right.
Because they were the old ones they wanted to get rid of. But those two things, like, didn't even seem like sex to
the
me.
Unnatural.
They were so horrifying.
What goes on in pushers?
I can't tell you. There's no way to even try and tell you on the radio in any code of any kind.
Well, we're going to take
animals.
We're going to take a break, but Danny, why don't you show T what goes on in pushers during the break?
I'll take a look.
Okay, I'll use this one word. I think it's one word. Might be two words. Wiffle ball.
Wow. I hope she doesn't make contact.
We need to take ourselves a break. Hey, good news. Mr. Burchums just wandered into the green room.
You know he's seen pushers.
He's going to answer your home improvement questions at 866-901-ADAM. Home improvement questions with Mr. Burchum next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's get to it. I'll go get Burchum over here. Why don't you play the intro? I'll grab him.
Here to answer your home improvement questions, Louis Pasteur Middle School woodshop teacher, Mr. Burchum.
It's remedial woodshop, Hasher. Hey, Dawson, you dropped your beads.
Puss. Dude, I waited for you, man.
Dude. That's Gainesville, Daddy-O.
Dude,
yourself. Who's saying that? Where is he? Gotta get it on, gotta get it on.
Morning, Mr.
Gotta
Burchum.
Get it on. What's happening, Firehead?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
An ass full of this morning already. What's going on over there, Jubot?
I'm doing fine. I think some callers want your help with their home improvement problems.
Riley?
Yeah, how's it going?
What's going on?
Well, I'm a window installer here in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, hold on. T's got to change her panties. Hey, guys up in Oregon, he makes $12 an hour. Look out, T.
Mr. Burchum, I'm surprised you didn't comment on his name, Riley.
Riley? What kind of name? That's a name. That's a lap dog's name.
I don't know. My parents were high, I guess.
That's what a chick names her vagine. That's not a dude's name.
Charles Nelson.
That's right. It's the name of a guy wearing Swifty Lazar glasses and going, bah-ha! Jesus Christ. So they're hell-bent on raising a puss, huh?
I guess so.
So they're like, well, we wanted a girl, but it's got a penis. I guess we can try to turn it into a girl. Let's give it a name like Riley. Spend the rest of his life in Oregon putting other people's windows in. And then go back to his crappy apartment and stare out at his window at all the windows he's put in. All right, Riley, what's going on?
Well, would you install a window with a fin or without a fin?
What's a fin?
A fin around a window. You know, a nail fin.
Trying to stump Burchum over here, huh? The fin that's attached to the window. Look, here's why I'm asking. There's 1,000 different kinds of windows and 1,000 different window manufacturers, and some call people different things. They call them styles. They call them rails. They call them muttons. They call them mullions. There's a different name for everything, and it's all regional. Some places you call the king stud. Other places you call the jack stud. It's a weird thing, but it's a regional thing. I don't know all the particular lingo for every region, especially Loserville, Portland, Oregon. So why don't you say, tell me what a fin is, and I'll tell you whether you need one or not.
It's a nail fin around an aluminum, or actually a vinyl extruded window, like a new construction. And a lot of the companies up here are installing windows without fins.
No.
And I just wanted to know how you felt about that, being a carpenter, a stud carpenter that you are.
Well, I know it's important to cut corners, just like I know it's important to work without safety goggles or a respirator. So there's certain things I know. If you can cut corners, I say so be it. Riley, here's what I'd like you to do, son. Cut some corners and go home and cut your wrist. You got nothing to live for. Your name Riley, for Christ's sake. It's a chick's name. Do you have kids?
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah, you have a girl?
I have two boys.
Two boys? What'd you name them, Sonny and Daffodil?
Nathan and James.
Nate and James. Sounds like they're going to get together and make wine coolers.
Kind of rhymes with Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
I think it's code.
Yeah.
Sir.
All right, Riley, Five's in charge. I'd have him taken away from you. You married?
I am married.
All right, so they're being raised by lesbians.
Yep.
Good times. Hey, Mary. You got a more masculine name than our last caller. What's happening, Mary?
I have a question.
Mary from Inglewood, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Woman of color?
No. Well, brown skin.
What are you?
Mexican.
Oh, in Inglewood, huh?
Yeah.
Refreshing. Even okay. The blacks got to move to Canada now.
Mr. Virgin, you don't have anything against Mexicans.
No, you better not.
You better not.
Hell no, you better not. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to start waving the brown flag and surrender. Look, there was a time when I wanted him out of here. You know what I mean? Now it's like, you know, I'm offering a peace offering. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about trading in my outing, just getting a roach coach.
Aww.
I'm just thinking about joining him. That's it, Senior Burcham.
We'll start with helping Mary with her problem.
All right. Hey, Mary.
Yeah.
I want you to know whatever it is I eat tonight, I'm going to melt cheese on it for you.
All righty.
All right.
Think of me.
And I'm now down. I'm going to start kicking a football around the yard, listening to that god awful mariachi music, and driving a roach coach. What do you need?
I have an outlet that I plugged the vacuum into. And when I was done, I went to unplug it, and the plug, the cord was really hot. And the outlet, it was really hot to the touch.
Mm.
And it was so hot to the point where the outlet, the plastic part, had started melting.
Sure.
So I wanted to know what happened and if I should just replace that outlet because I'm scared to plug anything in there.
Mm-hmm. Don't you got a Mexican dude floating around the house?
No, I don't.
What's up?
I don't.
What'd you do with him?
I just don't have one right now.
19 kids and no dad?
Don't have 19 kids.
What happened? Something happened with one of your fallopian tubes? It blew up or something?
Don't have any kids.
Mexican chick with no kids? Give me a break, sister. I wasn't born yesterday.
Oh, Mr. Burcham.
What happened? Chupacabra come get you in the night? Scramble you downstairs? What happened?
Yeah, he stuck me all night.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
30?
Mm-hmm.
You like the senoritas, do you?
Do I like what?
The ladies?
No, I don't like the
lead. Are you sure? So I could hook you up with a girlfriend of mine named Riley.
Up in Oregon.
Single mom living in Oregon. Oh, wait a minute. I got to tell you something. I work my whole life based on stereotypes. First, it's a non-black chick calling from Inglewood. I'm already confused. Secondly, we got a Mexican chick who's sturdy, doesn't have a bunch of kids. What's up?
I don't know. The world's growing a lie.
What's the matter? You a big gal?
No, I'm not.
I never slowed a Mexican dude down anyway. It's nothing a couple of Bud Tall Boys won't cure. I'll tell you that right now. You living alone?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? What's going on? I'm taking my contractor's hat off for a second and putting on my jacket with the patches on the sleeves. Lay down on the sofa, baby girl. What's going on? 30 years of age,
gone,
no man.
But I have a burnt outlet. I want to know what's wrong.
I'll say. Now I'm just going to try to fix it. Do you have a plug for that outlet? Do you have a man?
No, I don't have a man. I don't have a plug.
What's going on? Daddy was cruel? Swore off men? What happened?
Oh, no. Maybe I'm just taking a break from men right now.
What happened? Last boyfriend hit the bottle, then he hit you?
No, the last one just didn't do it for me.
Abusive?
I think his plug was broken.
His what?
His plug.
Uh-huh. So it freaked you out. He had a little erectile difficulty and it made you feel like less than a woman,
yeah,
yes?
Yeah, more than a couple of times.
Yeah, that's a shock to the old outlet. Nothing screws up a woman's electrical system like that, right, T?
That's true.
When a man can't get that grounding rod worked out, it really screws up the circuitry.
Mary took it personally.
Evidently.
I did because, you know, I just kind of taking a break.
Hey, Mary?
Yeah?
You need to get back under that horse.
Yes.
I mean, on that
on
horse.
Okay.
Christ's sake. You need to get back on that horse, baby.
and hopefully that horse can fix your electrical problem. Until then, why don't you go check your breakers? You got breakers?
Yes.
You know which one is labeled correctly for that outlet?
They're not labeled, actually.
Shrewd. Wouldn't want to label those. Sure, why would you need to know the breakers that are in the kitchen versus the one that works the disposal of the garbage? What?
I know.
All right, baby, you're depressed. Now you're bumming me out.
I know.
I'm not depressed.
Don't tell me that. But I had wood before you came on the phone. Now it's gone.
But it's not the breakers. I mean, what is it that... Why is it that it got burnt?
You probably got a bad outlet. You want to take the thing apart yourself? And if you do, you're going to have to flip every breaker because you don't know which one's which.
All right.
Here's the deal. You want to burn in another fire?
No.
The whole Southland's on fire. You want to go up in flames, too?
No.
All right. So you know what you need to do? Get someone qualified to look at it. Oh, you're going to damage yourself.
Okay.
All right. And get yourself a man, would you, for Christ's sake?
So I will do that this weekend.
Please, yes.
Mr. Bergerman, as you are my wood shop and life guru, I would like to offer my services to impregnate this young lady so her stereotype will fit you and then not confuse you, sir.
Mm. All right, Partridge. Let me talk to her. Mary?
Yes.
What about the douche man?
I think I will pass on Mr. Bonaducci.
Mm, he could do wonders for your confidence.
You know, I could see that. Yeah, and he's looking pretty tight there. I've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they can say that about the both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you never had any trouble in that area, right, Dan?
Yes. I can't get it down.
All right, let's talk to Tyson. Tyson?
Yeah.
What's up, my friend?
Not much. I need to know if I should install a rain sensor on my new sprinkler system.
Hold on. What kind of name is Tyson? What is it? Post Dude Name Day? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, you know, like Iron Mike. He's such a big puss.
Yeah, his last name was Tyson. You'd be Tyson Tyson.
What about Tyson?
How about Tyson Chickens? Put an S on the end of that and you got your whole title. All right, Tyson, what's the problem?
Well, my only drawback is I have to run my whole system through it, so if the rain sensor fails, the whole system goes down.
No, you want to save water. You and Al Gore and the rest of the tree-hugging pussies can just take your march down to the yarn shop and all cry yourselves a river.
I figure if I do my part, then I can drive a big diesel truck or something.
Listen, you push tree-huggers, you want to... You worried about water? How about all the tears that come out of your eyes every time you watch one of The View or Oprah? Huh? You want to conserve some water? You quit bawling all over yourselves, you pusses.
It's Ellen.
Oh, Ellen. Yeah, should have known. She's wasting a lot of water these days, too. All right, Tyson, you want to do a rain sensor?
Right.
Yeah, here's the deal. They have these things. You hook them right up to your timer, your sprinkler timer. You just wire them right in. They're like $20. You go online, you get them. They're literally a little cup, and they collect the water. And when the water lands in the cup, it completes the electrical circuit, and it shuts the system off. Because water is a conductor of electricity. So you have the negative and the positive, and when the water comes in, it passes through the water, connects it, completes the circuit, shuts the system off. You save water. Everyone who has a sprinkler system should get the rain sensor shut off. It's really literally $20. I think they have them over at Home Depot. You wire it in the system. It's easy. You put it where it can get rained on, obviously. You don't put it under a shelter, and there you go. Should we take one more? T.
I know. I might do.
Yeah, what
do
you got? Not? How about Wendy?
Wendy. Now, that's a horrible dude's name. Wendy?
Hey, Adam.
No. We got a chick for a change. What's going on?
Okay. So is it as simple as turning off the main power to the fuse box to replace a fuse?
You want the douche man to come out there and sex you down?
I think exactly. She just wants to change a fuse.
Hey.
Wendy, you want to change a fuse?
Yeah.
And you want to know if you just shut the main power down before you pop the fuse out?
Right.
Here's the deal with that. Yes, but talk to somebody or get somebody who's a qualified electrician to do it because it will kill you. That's the thing about electrical. You can F around with whatever you want as far as whatever your house goes. Look, if you screw up the flooring in your bathroom, well, then you just have a funkified bathroom. And if you want to put some carpeting down and it's got a big bulge in it, well, you just screwed up your living room. But you screw up electrical, you screw up your life. You fry and your teeth pop out. Your eyeballs go shooting across the yard. Your nads shrivel up. You fall apart. You're going to look like buckwheat downstairs. Do you understand what I'm saying, T?
Yeah.
What's that face?
Just picturing looking like buckwheat downstairs.
I'm just thinking about making your eyes bulge out. It's, and the dudes can do that for you.
It has bad times. All right, one more quick one. Let's see. Leaky pipe in the wall, windows painted shut, needs a clean black countertop, huh? I want to change a fuse and breaker. Let's talk to David real fast. Dave.
Yeah.
Let's go. We got a dime holding up a dollar here, son. Let's rock.
Well, I got the wood in my house has cracks in it.
No.
Now, does it have to be replaced, or does it make a Bondo for houses? And if I put Bondo in my house, will it affect the resale value?
I don't have a crystal ball. Here's how it works. They make Bondo for wood. Bondo is what you put on car fenders. It's a two-part system. You have a catalyst. You have a resin. You mix it up. You have a very limited window to spread it. Dries fast. A little bit difficult to sand. And, yes, they make a Bondo for wood. So the best thing to do is prep it, Bondo it, sand it. And, David?
Yeah?
Don't tell the guy you sell it to that you bondoed up the wood. You paint over it so he can't tell the cracks were there, and thus he doesn't see the Bondo. You understand?
Oh, good idea.
When you sell a house, you don't say anything. You don't explain how many times you did the old lady in the kitchen.
Mm-mm.
You don't explain this is where the daughter lost her virginity. You don't talk about the ghost. You don't talk about the suicide. You don't talk about the termites. You don't talk about the termites and where they committed suicide or loss of virginity. You say nothing. You understand? Your mouth will get you into trouble. Remember that train ride in Europe, T?
I do.
Yeah. We'll take ourselves a break. We're coming back, T.
Yep.
First the outro, then the news, girl.
That was Mr. Burcham, woodshop teacher, veteran, American.
Another tour de force from Mr. Burcham, but
absolutely.
He's gone now.
Thank you.
What's coming up in the news, you ask?
Mm-hmm.
How much do men spend on women annually? On average, and what are the effects of sleep deprivation? A new survey tells us.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with that news next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Well, here's a digital camera that automatically snaps a picture when the subject smiles.
And the overall technology is still looking for two eyes. So if I cover my eye from a pirate, it's not going to work. But if I have both eyes and my smile, then it's there.
Pirates never smile anyway,
that's
right?
That's right.
That little camera costs you $400.
But if you're a pirate, you can get one for maybe a little bit less. It's Target.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
CT?
Yeah.
Your news seems good now, right?
I know. Play that again. Hilarious.
Let's do it, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
A half a million people have been chased from their homes by the wildfires. There have been 1,300 homes that have been destroyed or damaged. It's the largest evacuation in the history of California. Here's something interesting. Amongst the people helping fight the fires are inmates from the California Department of Corrections.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Captain Norm Taylor talking about using inmates to help stop the fires.
Most of the inmates that are out on these fire crews have earn the chance to go out there and redeem themselves and do what they can for the communities.
Yeah. Well, look, most people who fight fires are inmates anyway. All that Peace Corps, Job Corps, all that Job Corps crap where the guys get the shovels and do the fire lines and clear the brushes, those are just choice between prison or that.
Right.
That's they got it in their blood, those people.
Now,
same gene.
You might ask yourself, how do you know who's a prisoner and who's just a standard firefighter. The prisoners wear orange as opposed to yellow worn by city firefighters, and it says CDC prisoner on their jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be asking yourself, do they use tools? Because it might seem unwise to have prisoners roaming around with axes and such.
Right.
Here, Norm Taylor answers the question, do the firefighters from CDC use tools?
Depends on the terrain and what their task at hand is. But it goes from, they'll have chainsaws, McLeods, Blaskies, shovels, and axes, depending on the terrain and, like I say, what their objective is.
Blasky sounds like something Bordop Bill gave his boy toy last night.
I was wondering what that was. I thought you'd know.
Gave him a Roman Blasky.
All right, here is a study about sleep and what happens when you're sleep deprived. According to a study done at the University of California, the best way to avoid being an emotional wreck is to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Researchers found that when someone's sleep deprived, their brain dramatically overreacts to bad things.
Yeah.
A neuroscientist at Cal who led the study says, quote, when you're sleep deprived, it's really as if the brain is reverting to more primitive behavior, regressing in terms of the control humans normally have on their emotions.
Yeah. No, it puts you in a horrible mood, obviously. You know, whatever that thing is, when you hear some good news, you can take some bad news. When you're on your last nerve, then everything sets you over the edge, and being sleep deprived is just that.
Right.
I know. It was 82 degrees in my air-conditioned house last night. I tossed and turned in a pool of my own sweat before I got up. And I did that thing where I have a backup alarm. I have my regular alarm, and then I have my little battery alarm. And I set my little battery alarm for what always seems to be a couple of minutes after my regular alarm should go off. It's my emergency chute. But for some reason, I screwed up on the math. Like, if I go to bed and I'm going to sleep for 5 hours and 30 minutes, I'll set my little backup one for 5 hours and 34 minutes. So I know it'll go off 4 minutes later. I somehow screwed up the math last night. Maybe I had too much medicine before I went to bed.
The kind that comes in the wine glass.
The point is I set it for about a minute early. So my backup alarm went off before my primary alarm, and the backup alarm is next to the primary alarm, but it never goes off first. So I spent my morning trying to shut the alarm that wasn't going off.
Oh, okay.
I was hitting the thing and pushing the thing and cursing the thing, going, shut, damn you, shut. And it was the alarm that was 3 inches from it that never goes off first. So that's how I got started.
Well, it's actually pretty dramatic. According to the study, people who are sleep deprived are 60% more reactive to negative emotional events than those of us who are well rested.
I was doing when I was doing Next Child Star and this show, and I would leave from here, and I was still going to the gym because I wanted to look good on TV. So I'd go to the gym before the show, do the show, and then go to that TV show till 11 o'clock that night. So they were coming about 85-hour weeks, and I remember right towards the end of it, I had my phone in my hand, and I was looking at Amy, and I started to cry. She was, what this? She got really scared. She was, what's going on? I go, what am I doing with this phone? I'm trying to call someone, right? There was somebody I wanted to call, right? I mean, I almost literally broke down.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember. I knew I had the phone in my hand for a reason, and between the time it took me to grab it and turn it around and look at it, I had forgotten its purpose, and it made me cry.
I have said it's more dangerous to drive in that state than it is off of four beers.
I agree completely.
Yeah, you're much less resilient. I think I can't remember if I was telling you, Adam, that I was calling somebody to try to make a doctor's appointment, and the woman on the phone was just slightly rude.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't an a-hole. Right? She was just a little rude. She was probably busy. And when I hung up, uncontrollable sobbing. And I just went, you know what? I'm done with this day. Got to bed at four. I said, sayonara.
That's right.
And good night. This day
Xanax.
When you start saying good night in foreign languages to yourself, you know you got a problem.
I wasn't resilient because I was tired.
Right. Yeah, it kicks your ass.
Mine was scary. Mine was, you know, I obviously knew something 1 second ago because my phone was right there. So that's what mine was. Mine was scary.
Memory loss.
Was emotional, yeah.
Yeah.
But it happened so fast. I mean, how long did it take me to grab my phone? I went, here we go. And then I just froze. And then I started to cry because I couldn't remember what I wanted to do with it.
You know, it's amazing, though. You have the memory loss. You feel like you can drive across town, arrive at your destination, and then not remember how you got there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But There's also a crazy resilient side of your brain that knows how to work on autopilot. I used to do Howard Stern's show for 4.5 to 5 hours because that's how long his show used to be.
Yeah.
And I used to leave Westwood One after doing Loveline at midnight, and I would get home at 12:30, and I would stay up until 1:30. And I would go to bed at 1:30, and I would wake up at 2:30, and I would drive back to Westwood One, which is across town, because his show started at 3 a.m. our time. And then I would sit in with him from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. our time. And I would be funny and witty and quick, and he loved it. And then I would drive home, and I would listen to the replay, and I would not remember any of the things I said. And then I would get home and go to bed and wake up and not remember even doing it. I was completely out of it.
But still did a good job.
Yet there was a part of my mind on 1 hour sleep that was able to be quick, funny, witty, have references, so on and so forth.
Obviously, you did, or they would have kept you doing it.
I guess so.
You don't know how you got home is the thing. That's weird.
Right.
It's also, is that an accepted method of torture under the Geneva Convention, sleep deprivation?
I must say, whenever you hear about those things, when you hear about, like, Navy SEAL training and all that kind of stuff, and the guys are talking about doing push-ups out in the rain and eating raw eggs and blah, 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 the part where you don't get to sleep for 3 days, the part where they keep you up for 72 hours or whatever it is, that part always cuts to my core. Yep. Like, it's like, you know what it's like to do push-ups with a guy with a steel-toe boot kicking you in the ribs? Uh-huh. You know what it's like to carry a log on sand wearing combat boots for five? Uh-huh, uh-huh. You got to stay up for 72. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Chief Sergeant, I needs to nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember reading about a stunt where some DJ decided he wasn't going to sleep. He was going to be on the air live for several days. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
You study in psychology classes.
A lot of guys do it.
I actually recently offered to do it.
Really?
Yeah, there was some vacation problem here with two or three shows in a row. And I said, maybe not a bad publicity stunt because I don't need that day. I'll bet I could broadcast straight for 2 days without sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, A, you're not that good. And then B, it's not safe.
Adam, this is radio.
It's true. Psychosis will ensue.
But yes. I thought it'd be kind of cool, like, to give it a try because I'd seen it on TV and heard about it. I thought I could do that. And they said, no, it's, like, really bad for you. You can't do it. We won't let you
do it. What about hold your wee for a wee?
My doctor recommended I do that just yet. I was just in there in a routine physical, and he recommended that I hold my wee.
I got a colonic for Cusack one time. It was a Chicago radio contest.
All right, let's do one more and then take a break, T-Bone.
Okay, well, I'll just start this because it's kind of extensive and I think interesting. The people at Best Life magazine did a study to figure out how much the average man spends to keep the woman in his life happy. The answer, based on their calculations, which they've broken down.
Can you put a price on your soul?
Yes, and you want to know how much it is?
Yeah, how much does a guy spend annually to keep his woman happy? Girlfriend...
Wife,
whatever.
Whoever it is.
How much? Danny's
again.
Writing down an answer. Oh, no. Turns out he's just drawing a pirate turtle. Thought it had something to do with the show, Danny.
Do you get that Target?
We need to take a break. Hey, quickly, John.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
You're a man that's handy with a hammer and whatnot around the house. What are you doing living in a house that's un-air-conditioned, bud?
Very long and sad story. Tore off a room, relocated my compressor, my air conditioning compressor, and stupid Ozzy, who hooked it back up, was supposed to give it a Freon charge, and he never did, and he never told me. And even though it was 90 effing 9 degrees for the last 3 days, and Ozzy's been at my house 3 times, and I told him 5 times to put the effing Freon in, he's never done it. So,
I think we need to beat Ozzy.
I would love to, but he's...
go ahead. I want you to go. I mean, because Ozzy's not a big man. He's thick. You know, I would think if I saw Ozzy and it came down to it, it'd be a long, scrappy fight, but it'd be fair. And then I found out he took a chainsaw to his own neck. He wins.
Send Danny over there to level him out.
No, dude, I ain't going.
He...
You know, I'm the kind of guy, I'll go till everybody's bloody.
His wife locked herself in another apartment. He wanted her to come out, so he took a circular saw to the door. And when the cops came, he tried to hold the cops off with the circular saw and they tased him.
Wow. Like, one more thing. I never knew what Teresa looked like. I saw her on TMZ, and man, Teresa, you are hot.
Yes, she is.
Thank you very much.
Put her at the top of your spank bank, John.
Thank you.
She's got it all. Yes, she does.
Now, was that a tease about the man, how much men spend?
Yes. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, how much your average guy spends on his average girl per year?
Yeah.
All right. Quick break. Back with that next.
And his girlfriend cries. If there's one thing she don't need to do, it's end up with a handful of goo in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Hefner, don't you understand? The grotto is a filthy land. It's a steaming crockpot human fluid stew. Syphilis and leprosy. Crabs and hepatitis C. You never know what you will catch when you step inside that pool. As the water swirls, a sloppy drunk girl gets on her knees, and a horny young man gets a disease in the grotto.
In the grotto.
And his penis burns. You need Valtrex to get it right. The downstairs itch he got that night in the grotto.
In the grotto.
Rich Banks, everybody, with his mom backing him up in the basement of their house.
I saw that, Taboo.
Although
he was backing up his mom.
When you can rhyme leprosy and hep C.
Not bad.
T.
Yep.
The rest of the news.
We were talking about the people at Best Life magazine. They just finished a study to figure out how much the average man spends to keep the woman in his life happy.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? You know, because I don't really spend anything on my wife. On the other hand, I spend a ton on my wife, you know?
You ask a good question. Here are some of the things they calculated. Flowers, cards for all the big days, dinners out, expensive apology dinners, theater, movie, and concert tickets, vacations, jewelry.
Nope.
I have an apology account at my secret garden. I walk in the door, swear to God, I walk in the door and they say, how sorry are you? And I say 300 and I walk back out, swear to God.
Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, taking care of the dog she loves, haircuts and grooming products so you look presentable.
Oh, you mean the stuff you spend on you is for her.
Some
and
of
diamonds.
It.
All right.
Well, gifts.
Anyway. Right. Okay.
You buy your wife a gift now and again.
No, I know, but you're spending haircuts and grooming products on you?
Things that keep her happy.
Right, so you look good. Well, you can say, I buy clothing to keep her happy, thus I'm spending it on her, but that's going to be a tough sell for her.
Join a gym so I have a good for her. No, that's not the way I'm putting it.
That's not listed, but they do have lingerie. That's something you just buy her.
No, for sure.
I know, but they had haircuts.
Yeah.
Grooming products so you look presentable. I'm going to agree is a small, but that's only $1,000.
Okay. I'm playing diamonds, dinners out, a car.
All right.
That's where I'm playing.
Vacations, jewelry.
All right. The average guy.
Average guy spends $11,788 every year.
No.
Yeah.
What'd you put?
I put $5,000 and I thought it was too much.
I put $175,000.
A year?
Yeah. I had my accountant break it down recently just to know it costs us $300,000 to live.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went, oh, wait, I don't spend all that on her. There's mortgage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I broke it down. So I figured to take Gretchen to eat and all that stuff, about $175,000 a year.
Well, that's you. That's your average, but that's not the average guy.
No, that's just for me.
But now, hold on. The average guy, what is the average income? $46,000 a year?
You got to imagine. So, you have to adjust for Danny's income.
Right.
My last income, not this one, darling.
But I mean,
why did she pick this year to leave me?
What's the median income as far as males go? High 40s, low 50s?
That's a good question. I bet it really ranges depending on the region.
All right,
yeah, but
this is the average guy.
Yeah.
The average guy is not spending 20%. What'd you say? It was 11 grand?
11,000.
He's not spending 20% of his annual income on the old lady. No way. And if you make 50 grand a year, you bring home 38 in cash, 37 in cash, 35 in cash, and he's spending 11 of that? That's BS.
Here's how they break it down. A few of the items. Flowers, 300 bucks a year. Okay. Cards?
3,000. Easy.
Per year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Expensive apology dinners out, $700 a year.
You can't even count.
Mm-hmm. And just plain dinners out, $2,526 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Vacations, almost $3,000 a year. Jewelry, $1,336 a year. Lingerie, only $122 a year.
Mm.
I spend more on lingerie on me than that.
Valentine's Day, $86 a year. That seems low.
This gets to $11,000, though.
Yeah, it adds up to $11,000. Now, if you consider, if you accept that number, over a 50-year marriage, that comes to $589,400.
Who's married for 50 years? Try a 4.6 years and see what it comes to.
The first number I wrote down here that you thought I was writing the number of what I spent is actually Amy's cell phone, but I'll just tell you real quick. She has said that because her apartment is so small and she plays piano, that she's always wanted a baby grand. And it was delivered at 1 o'clock in the noon after yesterday. And she asked that morning. And didn't even ask. Just said it that morning.
Mm.
She mentioned offhand.
It's just the way I play.
Offhand.
Yeah. That's just the way I play.
Wow.
I wouldn't give my wife Linus's piano.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure most people's wives wouldn't give me what Amy gives me.
Look, this is nonsense and BS. If the average guy, I'll go look it up during the break, but if the average guy is bringing down 49 to 53K a year, and I don't even know if he's bringing that much down, then 11 grand, and then after taxes, he's bringing back 35. He's not spending 11 grand a year. And again, this is a horrible thing because you're counting haircuts that I get for me as money I'm spending on my wife. So if you weren't in a relationship, you can tell all the guys that aren't in relationships because they never cut their hair. They walk around looking like country singers from the 70s. Is that what's going on? Please. Nonsense.
And just being the average guy, one of the reasons Gretchen divorced me is she thought that this amount of money and attention and love and 3,000 of flowers wasn't romantic. She thought it became obsessive and got kind of creeped out by me.
Mm-hmm. You can tell all the single guys because they look like Crystal Gayle. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'll give you some hard facts.
Okay. Oh, Linus's piano.
Nice, buddy.
Honey, this ain't your piano. This is Linus's piano. We'll take a quick break. I'll get you a used piano from Shakey's. Take a quick break. Be back. As of 05, the average male brought home 40 grand and a little bit of change, almost 41 grand a year. So let's just call it 42, 43 grand a year because it's a couple years later, just finishing off where we left off. So if the average male brings home 42 to 43 grand a year, we're supposed to believe he spends 11 on his lady,
gross.
And he ain't bringing home 42 to 43 grand a year. He's making 42 to 43, which means he's bringing home 29 to 30. And then 11 grand would be 35 or whatever percent. Nobody spends 35% of their income on their bitch. I don't care how much you love them. Remember, listen to Lycus. 40 bucks a year. 50 for backdoor. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. I'm going to give some thanks to screw all you. Nobody helped us.
That's awesome. We were brilliant.
I want to thank Danny. I want to thank Teresa. And most importantly, I want to thank me and God.
And Bertram.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Get your ass out on stage and start making with the comedy.